See you tomorrow. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network.
I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the
This is the Quality News Network. The UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency is expected to issue a report tomorrow saying that Iran has not suspended its nuclear activities as world powers have demanded. Because Iran is expected to ignore tomorrow's deadline, the Security Council is likely to impose sanctions. In Jerusalem today, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan urged Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert to lift Israel's blockade of Lebanon, but Olmert said it will be lifted only after the UN ceasefire is fully implemented. That not only includes peacekeeping troops in southern Lebanon, but also disarming Hezbollah. Israel also wants peacekeeping forces along the Syrian border. At the United Nations, the humanitarian chief said 90% of the cluster bombs Israel dropped on Lebanon were dropped even as they knew a ceasefire was on the horizon. She called Israel's behavior shocking and completely immoral. Hundreds of thousands of Lebanese cannot return to their homes because of the unexploded munitions. In Gaza, Israeli troops reportedly killed at least 9 Palestinians today, including a teenage boy. Israeli troops have reportedly discovered a tunnel running between Gaza and Israel, which they believe militants plan to use to stage an attack. Around Baghdad today, at least 60 people were killed in violence, including roadside bombings. This week alone, more than 200 people have been killed around the country. Nevertheless, the top U.S. general in Iraq, George Casey, says the Iraqi government should be able to take over security responsibilities in 12 to 18 months. In Pakistan, militants have decapitated two men, a cleric and an Afghan refugee, who they believed were spying for the U.S. in Afghanistan. Yesterday, a 15-year-old boy was shot to death as he was on his way to school, but the motive for that attack has not been determined. The National Hurricane Center reports that Hurricane John has now become a Category 4 storm off of Mexico's Pacific coast. It reportedly has 135-mile-an-hour winds. In the Carolinas, residents are being warned to keep an eye on Tropical Storm Ernesto. It dumped heavy rain in southern Florida and is now classified as a tropical depression. In San Francisco, police have taken a man into custody after he went on a hit-and-run spree, killing one person and injuring 13 others. Family members say he's mentally unstable and stressed by a recent arranged marriage in Afghanistan. You're listening to QNN.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
A federal judge sets a $50 million reward to a retired FBI agent who suffered a heart attack after taking the painkiller Vioxx is grossly excessive. He's ordered a new trial, which is limited to the question of damages. Euronext is reporting a 63% jump in second quarter net profit to about $111 million. Its merger with the New York Stock Exchange is expected to be completed in the first quarter of 2007. Rivals Boeing and Airbus are investing heavily in India, one of the fastest-growing markets for commercial jets. Airbus will spend more than $2.5 billion over 15 years. Boeing is already building a repair facility for $185 million. The Commerce Department says the economy grew at a 2.9% rate this spring, higher than original estimates. Also, inflation was a bit lower than expected during that same period. A frustrated whistleblower has taken his message of wrongdoing to the popular website YouTube.com. In a 10-minute video, the former Lockheed Martin employee accused the company of shoddy work on Coast Guard vessels. The Mortgage Bankers Association says mortgage applications have fallen for the first time in 4 weeks. And the Federal Reserve will hold its next meeting on September 20th. Light sweet crude settled at $70.03 today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 13 points, NASDAQ also up 13, S&P 500 flat. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Wednesday evening here in the Eastern Time Zone of the United States. And Wednesdays are special around here. Of course, you mostly know that if you're familiar with the program. It is, like I said, Wednesday, and therefore something special obtains.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
See, I get to do Wednesday night prayer meeting here on Head On because I'm part of the Head On Radio Network. And I'm not tooting my own trumpet. Mine was the first show on this network. And it exists largely because radio is a brutal business. Because the people who do it, the people who get behind the microphone and do radio, do it because they love it. And you can go, I've done a million other things in my life. I always came back to radio. Because it's my passion. And so sometimes there are suits out there and they know they've got you over a barrel because you want to do radio. It's what you're called to do. It's what satisfies your soul. And frankly, I believe that it in some instances, people take advantage of that. It was June the 30th, 2005, when my terrestrial radio incarnation of this program came to an end. I was told it was a result of financial considerations, which was, of course, a bunch of hooey. Because in the time that I was there, we tripled the ratings. Nothing. The only thing different in the time that the ratings tripled, the only thing that had come along that was different was me. But I got out there and I did what I do every night, and that is to do the best within my abilities to tell you what I understand the facts and the truth to be. And in that particular instance, I stepped on some mighty big toes. And you'll have that from time to time. And so I was, we've had some financial considerations, and as a result of the financial considerations, Bob, it's just no longer financially feasible for us to financially keep your program on the air financially. And out of that rotten experience was born the Head On Radio Network, what you're listening to now. By virtue of the dedication of a lot of amazing people who have come together almost as if by magic, as if the Head On Radio Network was supposed to exist, not just the dream inside of one guy's head. I try to respect the modesty of some people and not ballyhoo and crow the particulars. But, yeah, it was out of a desire to never, ever get stifled by the money people again that the Head On Radio Network was born. Out of a desire that never to have that speech, out of financial considerations, financially we can no longer, and we don't have that finance. I never want to hear that speech again. I hope I never hear that speech again. If things go right with the Head On Radio Network, I won't and I will never deliver it to anybody else. People here pour their hearts and their souls and their minds into what we're trying to build, because what we're trying to build is new and different and wonderful. And you are the most important parts, those of you who share your time with us every evening. So you all by now know pretty much what went down at Air America today. I would be remiss if I didn't mention it because, good God, I was listening to Mike Malloy when Mike Malloy was first on at WSB and doing the night slot, pretty much the same slot he did at Air America, and I'd be driving home from my shift at CNN. He'd say, "Go, Mike, go!" So that's how far up back I go listening to Mike. And my heart hurts for Mike Malloy and Kathy and Molly. Because it feels like somebody's taken a blunt instrument, jabbed it in your gut, then taken a rusty saw and opened what they just jabbed in, and then just gone in and rooted around for a little bit. Not that I'm speaking for Mike. I wouldn't dare to do that. But I consider him a friend. I consider him a colleague. I consider him an inspiration. And toward that end, Agnes hit it. You can sing along if you want to.
Son of that bitch in the wind. Get out of my house and hit the road. And I can't.
Hang in there, Mike Malloy. Wherever you are. It is a. I don't know what got into it. And I know a lot of you have wanted to vent on this and to share your thoughts because, as I've noted on this program a number of times, I get done here, I fire up Air America, I listen to my mic. You know, I'm doing other things in chat rooms and prepping for tomorrow and stuff like that, but I'm listening to Mike. Because somehow or another, he makes me feel better. And he has made a lot of people feel better. And you will one way or another hear from Mike again. Mike doesn't go away without a fight. Mike doesn't go down without swinging. He'll pop up somewhere else. And tonight, just as a little treat, see, that's the other crappy thing out of all this. They didn't give him Mike's a class act. And they didn't give him a chance to say goodbye. He was filling in for Randy this week, for God's sakes. I don't know all the details, I don't pretend to, but they didn't even give him a, you know, that tells you a little bit about what they think about the listenership in my book. But he didn't get a chance to say goodbye, and toward that end, we're going to play something for you with Mike's permission from his old IE America show. His final program there from a couple of years ago. It'll follow this program this evening. And we thank Mike for the permission to do so. Let's go to the phones. We're joined by Bob from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey, Bob.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. You?
Who?
No, who am I kidding? I'm ticked off.
I am too.
Our little band of truth telling brothers has been reduced by one, and I feel the loss.
Ah, I feel it very, very. And hey, this is the thing. They're after the king. They took him out. Okay.
Yeah.
Time for you to step up and be that thing.
Well, that's the beauty of what we got going on here, Bob. Like I said, I don't ever want to get the speech I got a year and a half ago or whatever ever again.
No.
And so we're gonna be here and we're gonna truth tell and we're gonna do facts and we're gonna fight the Republican SOBs with everything we got in us.
If you lie, you die. Okay.
Yeah.
These suckers are dying. They're dying like flies. I mean, they're like flies on a windscreen. You got them on. You get up in the morning and you got a, you know, what is that, Amityville horror on your window screen. You know, and you just shake them off. They're nothing. They're after Malloy tonight. And they've been after Malloy for a long, long time, and you know it. Because he is, and to me, he is my king of the airwaves, and he speaks truth to power.
Now, well, if any night you tuned in, you know that there were a lot of people that felt that way, and that's what tells me he'll be back.
Now, my friend, it's your turn to step up and take the mantle and put it on. Put on the mantle. You know, put on the mantle of truth and put it out there, son. Do it for all of us out here, us old Gunny Bob and the old Sarge down there in Mississippi, and I feel that I know his sister, the girl living in a tent, trying to put her life back together. I think I know Cassie. I think I know her because she's a young woman, and she's afraid, and she's scared. Because this Bush of Vec, this monster administration is trying to put her brother, I mean Cassie's brother, into harm's way. For what? Oil? The only thing Bush can speak about is oil. I mean, good gracious, God. The only thing he talked about after Hurricane Katrina.
No.
Was it Katrina?
Well, that was Laura. That Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, that was Laura, the dimwit, the librarian. You know, the librarian. If you're a librarian, you should at least know the English language. You've got to understand the Dewey Decimal System, how you put a book in line, where the book belongs. You know?
Yeah.
So other dimwits can find it, but Bush can't find. He couldn't find a piece of. He couldn't find a roll of toilet paper to a Sherman factory. That boy is dumber than stump. Bob, you once spoke about the stump liquor bunch.
Yep. Know him well.
Bush, hey, he's a stump liquor boy. He's a guy that licks the stump dry.
That's just my little shorthand for people who are just blind, crazy, mean, hateful. From top to bottom. And frankly,
But, hey, Bob, you know what I like about you?
What's that?
You told me once that sit up in the tree and wait till I came out. You know, came out of the tree line and teach your son how to take down a real thing. You know?
Yeah.
You know, just take him down and then we'll bring him home and get him out. And, you know, you said it. You said, then, hey, if it's cannibalism, it ain't cannibalism when you're eating a pig. And these SOBs are pigs, Bob.
Well, you know, Hunter Thompson, God rest his soul, or whatever rest his soul, said the hogs are in the tunnel and they're traveling on a road of bones. And that's where we are, Bob. It's good to hear from you, my brother. I'll tell you what, we've got to roll on. I've got to hit a couple more calls, all right?
Good on you.
All right, you take it easy now.
Good on you. And I can't take it easy until this thing is over.
Well, just keep. I tell you what, do me a favor and keep breathing, all right?
Well, I'll keep doing that, but, hey, do this for me. Take the mantle, take it on, and give it to them. Just shove it up their...
Nah.
I'm not going to say
okay,
that.
Well, we got to roll, brother.
Okay.
Later.
Bye.
Bye now.
Take care, friend.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And onward out to Oregon and our good friend Gene. Hey, Gene, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Considering not too bad.
Yeah, I probably better not. I probably better quit asking people that tonight because...
Naturally, that's okay. It's good to be on, I guess, America's premier liberal network now.
Thank you. He got a promotion.
I really didn't call her. I called to talk about what this firing of Malloy means, not so much Malloy himself. I mean, to me, the one upside about this is the Bush administration must have been scared out of their wits after Lamont won and we were going to do the thing with Camp Key or Camp Democracy and all, and they probably were thinking, how do we stop this train?
Yeah,
steamroller thing, and that's his kind of a good thing, but on the other hand, it's like, I'm so mad at what it says about what they think of how we think. And it just makes me so...
Well, yeah, Gene, from a radio standpoint, what we're trying to do here is a very talent, or we're trying to build something that's very talent oriented. Unfortunately, in traditional radio models, the talent, if you're a big shot, you get huge money, okay? But if you're making the huge money, you can bet that the suits behind you are making huger, okay? And so for all the, they're the ones that make it go. The talent is most frequently treated worst. You know, I mean, and it just happens in the middle of the night, just like what went down today. And yet, I haven't seen. I got a network to run. I can't worry about how they manage or mismanage or whatever any other network. I got enough to deal with ours. For my part, you know, my heart just goes out and bleeds for Mike and Kathy and Molly.
Yeah, It really gets me. I mean, it's as far as the liberal perspective. It's like I said. You can't tolerate that at all. So with that, I'll let you be.
Okay. Well,
you have a good night.
All right. Thanks, Gene.
Sure.
Appreciate your thoughts.
All right.
Take care.
Bye bye.
And let's see. Roy's calling in from Texas. Hey, Tex. Hey, Roy. I'm about half confused already.
Are you?
Yeah, too much gin on my sauerkraut, I guess. I don't
know. Okay.
How you doing?
Good. I've got a nice little story to tell you today.
Okay. Share it.
I think you remember the story Rick may have told you about the time that when I got the colonoscopy and everything like that. My doctor, he was McCain. This McCain that,
right?
Everything like that, and after it's all over with, I told him I was going to cancel his vote. We was on the way out the door then,
right?
But anyhow, today my wife seen him, and he came in, and it was so refreshing what he said. He came in, he didn't even say hello, how are you? He didn't say anything except he came in the door. He said, I'm ready to impeach Bush.
Well, hot diggity.
And God almighty, you talk about perking up now. I want to hear what you're going to say. But he just went on and on and on about, you know, from immigration to, but his main deal was the terrible, terrible state of affairs that the, medical situation is for the seniors,
mm-hmm.
and that his parents spend over $1,000 a month for prescription drugs. Well, me and Mary do the same thing, and we have a horrible bill. But anyhow, it was refreshing to hear a doctor. Not even, I mean, he didn't even come in and say, how are you, or let's talk about your problem, nothing. He was wanting to talk about this and impeach Bush.
Good for him.
Yep.
I guess the lights are going on. You know, man, I mean, there's plenty of people who in Texas who understand that the George Bush is a poisonous maniac.
Yeah.
But it's the ones that are going from point A to point Z and turning around. That matters.
That's what counts.
Does indeed. Well, is your wife okay?
Good. Yeah, she just needs to see him about a scheduling colonoscopy. We do them every year. So.
Yeah.
But,
I've had one of those.
Yep.
Lucky for me, I don't remember it. Good drugs.
Well, I didn't either. And but anyhow, that day that he came in and he was bragging on McCain and everything like that, I knew better to... starting thing.
No, not at that point. No, not considering what was going to go on, go down, go up.
Yeah. But immediately they put me out, and I don't remember nothing anyway until he came in and dismissed me sometime later, 2-3 hours, something like that.
Well, it's good.
It's fun to every night I have the New York Times on the website, and I can always get the jump start, read it at 11 o'clock my time in Texas, and go to bed laughing about what they're blasting Bush about today.
Right. Okay. Well, hey, Roy, we got to roll on. We're at a break.
We you take care.
All right. Hang in there.
Goodbye.
Thanks a lot. Bye now. We'll come back to more of your calls. The phone number, if you don't know it, is 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email blows right into Bob at headonradio.com. And it's prayer meeting night, and I assure you, I got some prayer meeting stuff coming up later. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing. Have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, Happy Birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'd be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Even better, burn the CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it. If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better. To find out more about what you can do, check out downhillbattle.org.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
You said New York is dangerous, 'cause you read that where you may.
Even the blind man could see that's not so.
La, 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 la. People on the street. What up with you?
24 minutes before the hour, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Prayer meeting night here in the hills and hollers of West Virginia, we're going to do a lot of phone time this evening, I got a feeling. And let's go to our good friend Andrew in New York State. Hey, Andrew, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Good to hear from you, man. I thought you'd got lost.
Well, a little bit. Yeah, I did. I was trying to, you know, I was listening to Air America. I was checking out Sam and Mike because I know they were having problems, you know, renewing their contracts. They had some issues.
Yeah.
So I was trying to support the shows a little bit, but I mean, what they did to Mike today was like totally uncalled for. That was a classless act. Like you said, they didn't give him a chance to say goodbye, you know, to his listeners. And I mean, besides Randy, and I'll have to see how that shakes out, I'm through with Air America. So
I'm hearing a lot of people saying that, Andrew.
I mean, it's like, I think if everybody who had any premium subscriptions, they should toss that to White Rose Society right now, because I'm just very, very unhappy right now. And
well, you know, obviously I never got to listen to Sam because, you know, we're in competing slots.
Yeah.
But, you know, what little I did, it does excellent work, and he's made, you know, great strides and great progress. Randy and Mike were that network to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd just as soon sit in a dentist chair and say, bring the rusty bit, Doc, you know, as listening to Jerry Springer, but, you know, that's me.
Oh, I couldn't take Jerry Springer or Al Franken. I was pissed when they got rid of Morning's Edition because, you know, it was something light in the morning, but still he had some hard-hitting things and issues we talked about. But what they did to Mike today is uncalled for, and it's just, I mean, I'm kind of speechless, and it kind of hurts, man, you know, and I know this isn't the first time it's happened to Mike, but, you know, I'm sure he'll bounce back, and wherever he goes, we'll be there.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's not the first time it's happened, but it always sucks.
Yeah, yeah, to the core, man.
Well, I mean, he was going the extra mile. He was filling in for Randy in her absence.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, you know, it's him and Kathy, and you know,
and all that business, you know. Well, you know, we're going to give you a 2-year contract, and yada 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 yada, and then yeah. This.
And they pulled the plug. And I think just like one of the earlier callers, I think she was on Bruce's show earlier, and she was talking about, yeah, it's an election year, you know.
Yeah.
And hey, we got to take out one of the strongest voices on Air America. You know, we can't have this guy out here telling the truth during, you know, the midterm election. That won't bode too well for the GOP. So there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know. You know, maybe there's always two sides to a story, but the way it looks right now, Mike got screwed. And consequently, democracy got screwed.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, being a regular listener, he never, you know, it's not like he said booger on the air, or any, you know, any of that automatic stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, he was very careful with his callers and encouraged them, you know, don't use the potty words.
Exactly.
He was hyper vigilant, even, you know, at 10 p.m. Eastern time, when, you know, even right wing children should be in bed.
Exactly. And he was, you know, he's knowledgeable. I mean, he brings years of experience. He brought years of experience to Air America. I mean, they were lucky to have him. And the way they dogged him out, I mean, it's like, you know, that's not cool. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And, I mean, I listen to a lot of hours of Air America. And
it doesn't feel the same way anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's like a big hole. There's a big, gargantuan hole left in Air America, and it goes to the top, and it's their fault, and it's the leadership's fault, and I don't know who's pulling the strings, but I have a pretty good idea, you know, can't say concretely, but I have a pretty good idea who somebody sent down a little signal and said, hey, the guy's touching a little, you know, he's striking nerves too much.
Well, if he's not touching those nerves, he's not doing his job.
Exactly.
And you know, like I said, Andrew, Mike has for a long time been an inspiration to me.
Exactly. He's a principled individual.
Yeah.
And anybody who listens to him, I mean, he may go off on his rants and different things like that, but there are rants coming from the heart, coming from what he's seen over, you know, decades of being in the political arena, as a broadcaster.
You know, I'm...
And it's just a waste. I mean, you have all that talent in there, and it's just like, it goes back, it's like a hallmark of the Bush administration. When they came into office, they got rid of everybody who knew how to do their job, and they put in cronies. Okay?
Yeah.
It's the same M.O. Air America's following the Bush administration M.O. Get rid of your most knowledgeable people.
Well, and that's, that's the thing. It's the knowledgeable thing. Mike strikes me as truly, he's a Renaissance man.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, he knows a little bit about everything.
Yes.
And what he doesn't know about, he will be very upfront and honest and tell you he doesn't know.
If he makes a mistake, he will, when he comes on the air the following night, he will say, I have been corrected. I stand corrected.
Yeah. And toward that end, I can't think of anybody who's on that network who is smarter, more intelligent, more you know, on his feet than Mike. I mean, no one any disrespect. Randy doesn't have the broad range of knowledge that Mike does. Sam is working toward it.
Yeah.
He's not there yet.
He's not there yet.
It's not Jerry Springer. It is darn sure not Al Franken. you know, if and even the folks that aren't necessarily Air America but are carried by, you know, Big Eddie, that kind of thing. He's with Jones Network.
That guy
doesn't have the range. What I'm trying to get around to, I think, here, Andrew, is there's the only excuse for Mike not just simply owning the airwaves in America outright is the fact that
he tells the truth.
He tells the truth, and there's a lot of people who driving down the road could not keep up with him. I can't imagine what it must be to be a right-wing Bushevik, Bush-voting, Republican-loving, whatever, and tune in and catch Mike when he's, you know, when he's channeling Donald Rumsfeld on acid. I can't, you know.
It's like a ball-peen hammer to the temple.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, it must be harsh. I mean, the right wingers must be like, oh, it's like garlic to a vampire. It's sunlight to a vampire. It's bad.
And the thing,
bad for them. They can't stand it. So,
you know, I don't. Will they change their minds if they've got a half a lick of sense? They will.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
You know, fire a suit. Bring Mike back. You know, the because the talent's more important than the suits.
Yeah. Definitely, and we need it right now more than ever.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of, and this says a lot about underestimating the audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you take the smartest guy on your entire network and say, we can do without you, but not Springer.
That's, you know, hey.
Then that's just a commentary on what they think of the demographics of their audience.
What is that saying about the intelligence in the boardroom? You know, it's like, hey, come on, guys. I mean, look past your pockets for once, dude. I mean, do you think that the Bush administration is going to let you hang around if they know you know the truth? Yeah. You know? You think all these reporters out in mainstream media, yeah, you don't think these reporters don't know the truth, that what's going on? And why do you have to report about, you know...
JonBenet
Ramsey and the next blonde that got, you know, kidnapped on a cruise ship, or she disappeared on a cruise ship. They know the truth.
Yeah.
They know the truth. But what they fail to realize is that if it does go totally fascist, they're going to be gone too.
Yeah, because
you're dealing with a paranoid government.
Yeah, they get the view from behind the razor wire just like the rest of us.
Exactly. And don't think that they don't know who knows. They know.
Oh, yeah, well, there's, I got...
The government knows. Bush knows.
the stories that are going around about, you know, the judicial decision from a month or so ago about it's okay to inter somebody for being brown.
Yeah.
The story Raed Jarrar, who was on the program, I guess, last Friday night, got rousted on a flight out of New York City for wearing a T-shirt that said, "We will not be silent," because it had the same thing written in Arabic above it.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, and he couldn't even get on there, even if it turned it inside out.
Right.
It's like, hey, come on. I mean, you look at all of the airline, the terror, you know, acts or whatever, attempts, you know, all these air travel terror scares. I mean, come on. We're coming up to an election year, folks.
You're being had.
Being totally had. But, I feel for Mike, and my best wishes go out to the Malloy family. And thank you, Head On Radio, for addressing the issue and being there. And everybody that supports, you know, Head On. Hey, everybody who was supporting Air America and buying that premium service, hey, send it to White Road.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you, Andrew. It's so good to hear from you again.
Nice to hear from you, too.
Take care.
Okay? Bye-bye.
Bye now. And, Agnes, are we just going to keep it rolling?
We're going to keep it rolling.
Let's see. Okay. Cassie. Hey, Cassie, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
I'm depressed.
Yeah, I know.
I love Mike Malloy.
And you have a reason.
I know. He's like, his show helped our family so much. I don't know. You know the whole story, right?
Yes, I do.
But I don't think that your listeners do.
Please tell.
Okay. Last November, my brother, who is my guardian, and he's in the National Guard, he got orders to be, they were called up and they were going to be sent to Iraq. And then because he's my guardian, they ended up putting him in a different thing. And then in March, in the 1st of March, he was told that he definitely has to go to Iraq, and he was going as a mechanic with a different unit, and they were going to have him go out on April 18th. And I, like, freaked out.
Yeah. What was going to happen to you, Cassie?
Well, I was going to either... My best friend's parents were trying to become foster parents, and they were trying to keep me with them. Or if it didn't work, I was going to have to go to foster care and live I don't know where with people I don't know. And I called Mike's show, and he let me talk. He had me on for like 20 or 30 minutes. I was on forever. And he kept asking me all kinds of questions about it. And when I talked about what was happening, like 30 or 40 of the listeners wrote me emails. They wrote to Mike and Kathy, and they transferred the emails, they forwarded them to me,
mm-hmm.
of all kinds of people with suggestions and things that we could do and people to call, and they helped, about five or six of them helped me write a letter to all of my representatives and senators and everybody in my state to ask them to keep my brother here and not send him to Iraq. And then I called Mike again and I talked to him, and my brother wrote to him. Anyway, either the letters worked or else one of the commanding officers at the base, I know that one of the commanding officers listened to Mike's program, and I don't know if that's what changed it or if it's because of the letters that people helped me write, but they changed their mind and they assigned him permanently to the same base that we were at, and we could stay in the same apartment and stuff. And I ended up meeting the most wonderful people who emailed us with help after that program came on Mike's show. And I've called Mike a couple times, and Mike actually read the letter on the air, and he read my brother's thank you letter. My brother wrote a thank you letter to Mike and Kathy, and he read that on the air, and it just, I have this whole community now. Like, I have these people online all over the country who, like, are in my life because of that show. I even yesterday got two grandmas on the chat room.
Oh.
Somebody was saying something about, you know, grandparents, and I said that I never had a grandma, and I had two volunteers immediately saying they would be my grandma. I said, can I send you my picture, and will you put it in your wallet like a real grandma, and will you send me something on my birthday? Will you send me a card on my birthday? And stuff, because I never had one, right? And
yeah.
And I said to a friend last night, you can get anything you want on the internet, but really it's the community around Mike's show. And around your show, too, because I hang out in your chat room a lot.
And, well, Mike inspires that kind of community.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was listening the night you called in the first time.
Were you really?
Yes, I was. I hope, well, Agnes and I both were. Because you don't know just how passionate Agnes can get about things, and she was mad at the prospect that your brother would be taken away, sent to Iraq, that all of this would be done to you. And we looked at each other and we said, but you know, something good will come of this, because the people, it's Mike's ability to draw very, very special people to his program. That turned out and made something wonderful happen for you. I'm not going to use a word like a miracle or something like that, Cassie, because there was nothing miraculous about it. It was the dedication and the compassion of the kind of people that like to hear Mike talking truth and Mike talking honesty, and it's a natural outgrowth of that.
Yeah.
And I was so glad when I heard that things were working out and that your brother had gotten, for all intents and purposes, a reprieve.
Yeah.
And all of that, you know, all of that happens because of Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mike and Kathy. I mean, you know, I've heard from her a couple of times. And
Kathy doesn't get the mention she deserves, and I should be ashamed of myself.
She doesn't. And, you know, I mean, she's written to me a few times, and you know, I've written to her and she's written to me. And, like, I feel they're part of my community, you know? I mean, like,
yes.
They're not in my town, but they're part of my community.
Well, and look, that's the difference between
yeah.
them and, you know, right-wing radio. People who listen to, you know, Rush or O'Reilly, you know, or God knows Hannity, they think that these are regular Joes. They're not. Cassie, they live in mansions, and they think that the people who listen to them are dirt. On the other hand, you take somebody like Mike, and dare I say it, the programs on this network, we're folks.
Yeah.
Mike is folks.
Yeah.
Mike is not going to tell you that he's any better than anybody else, except perhaps a Republican.
Well,
but he
I
only,
think
you know,
he's better than the administration.
Yeah, and that's only because it's true, Cassie.
Right.
But he's he cares. I care. Bruce Birch cares.
I know.
All these Guy James, Mark Levine, John Fox, Dr. Bill O'Brien. If you never had a grandma, did you ever have a grandpa?
Sorry, just my grandpa.
Okay, well you might.
My adopted grandpa.
Right. Well, okay. So you might. Well, you're probably in school, so you don't get a chance. You ought to check out Dr. Bill sometimes, because it's like having a chat with your grandpa.
Is it
a really, really incredibly smart grandpa?
Is it archived like yours is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I can listen.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm not listening at night to Malloy, then I have to listen to reruns of something.
Cassie, I tell you what, you spend a little time with Dr. Bill O'Brien, and you will own your American history class when you hit that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is community. And that, you know, that proves the that proves the realness of what's going on here, because the people, you know, like you and like many other people, the one thing in this world that we're not going to get any more of is time. We'll get more money. We might get more land, more cars, more junk, more clothes. We're never going to get any more time. And yet to spend that finite amount of time building community with folks like Mike or the folks on this network, that's the most special thing in the world. That's
yeah.
the greatest gift any human being can give to another.
It's really the coolest people, and I wouldn't have met any of these people if not for Mike, and who knows where I'd be living right now.
Indeed, who does know? And you're the better for it, and I'm sure you know Mike
my
is.
My brother is.
Yes, your brother is.
I mean, he's here.
I mean, there's where you are, and there's Iraq, and where you are is by far the better of the two places.
Yeah.
And you're together, and you're a family, and you know that matters. I mean, it matters in ways that you and I can scarcely give words to. But that's family values, not all this foolishness that comes from the right wing. What you know, what you got with your brother, and what Mike helped to assemble among other people for you, is real American family values.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Cassie, I tell you what, I really appreciate hearing from you, and you know, the nicest thing out of this is, like I said, I'm sure Mike's gonna land on his feet, and he's gonna be right back somewhere else.
I hope so. really do.
Well, I do too. You have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and thank you for sharing your time in the chat room, and thank you for calling. It's awfully
thank
nice to talk to you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, indeed.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We're up against the top of the hour, and I don't want to put anybody on and say, you know, hey, will you hold while you... So we'll go and we'll check out the news, and then we'll come right back to your phone calls. If you want to get involved, there's a couple of lines still open, 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. There's a reason we call this conversation radio. You're listening to it. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Through my skin, and the doubts that I've surrounded me are finding their way in. I keep it close to me like a holy man prays in my desperate hour. It's better, better that way. So I'll come by and see you again. I'll be such a very good mercy on my soul. I will never let you know where my mind has been. Angels never came down. There's no one here. They wanna hang around. But if they knew you at all, then one by one, the angels, angels would.
This is the Quality News Network. World powers will discuss sanctioning Iran at a meeting next week. There has been no indication from Tehran that it will stop enriching uranium by tomorrow, the deadline imposed by the UN Security Council. In Tehran, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad warned Europe not to impose sanctions, saying those threats will not stop its program. In Jerusalem today, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan urged Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert to lift Israel's blockade of Lebanon, but Olmert said it won't be lifted and its troops will remain where they are until Hezbollah frees two Israeli soldiers. In Lebanon, the Prime Minister says there will be no agreement between Lebanon and Israel until the Arab Initiative of 2002 is implemented. It calls for Israel to return all the territories it conquered in the 1967 war. At the United Nations, the humanitarian chief said 90% of the cluster bombs Israel dropped on Lebanon were dropped even as they knew a ceasefire was on the horizon. She called Israel's behavior shocking and completely immoral. Hundreds of thousands of Lebanese cannot return to their homes, many because of the unexploded bombs. Around Baghdad today, at least 50 people were killed and dozens more wounded in violence, including roadside bombings. This week alone, more than 200 people have been killed around the country. Nevertheless, the top U.S. general in Iraq, George Casey, says the Iraqi government should be able to take over security responsibilities in 12 to 18 months. In London, three more people were charged in connection with last month's failed transatlantic bombing plot will be held for another week. A total of 15 people have now been charged in connection with the case. The judge also ruled today that five others who have not been charged can be held for another week. In Syria today, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez held a two-hour meeting with Syria's president. Chavez later said the two countries would create a world free of domination by the U.S. The National Hurricane Center reports that Hurricane John is now a Category 4 storm off of Mexico's coast with 135-mile-an-hour winds. In the Carolinas, residents are being warned to keep an eye on Tropical Storm Ernesto. It dumped heavy rain on southern Florida and is now classified as a tropical depression. And in Southern California, firefighters are battling a 2,000-acre blaze in the San Bernardino National Forest.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization,
It expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
A federal judge says the award of $50 million to a retired FBI agent who suffered a heart attack after taking the painkiller Vioxx is grossly excessive. He's ordered a new trial, but only to determine damages. The Mortgage Bankers Association says mortgage applications have fallen for the first time in 4 weeks. The Commerce Department reports that the U.S. economy grew at a 2.9% rate this spring, higher than original estimates. The Federal Reserve will hold its next meeting on September 20th. Meanwhile, economists are speculating on whether interest rates will rise again to control inflation. The Chinese government now says its economy grew by 10.2% last year, higher than the previous estimate of 9.9%. China now has the world's fourth largest economy. Costco is anticipating a worse-than-expected fourth-quarter profit. The wholesaler blames slowing sales on jewelry and furniture, along with higher gas prices. The chief executive of Google is joining the Apple computer board. Analysts reportedly see that as a sign that Apple is looking at new strategies. And Northwest Airlines flight attendants have again asked permission from a judge to stage unannounced walkouts, but he hasn't said yet when he'll make that decision. Light sweet crude settled today at $70.03. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 13 points, NASDAQ also up 13, S&P 500 was flat. There's more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Alrighty then. I've got some news stories. I got some things you deserve to hear about. But as long as you guys want to talk, I want to let you. Because I don't think they're... Well, never mind. Look, you want to... You get to... Let's go to Sarge in Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm sorry. Thank you, Bob.
You know, we're interchangeable, Sarge, so that's okay.
I'm just going to start calling you, too, Bruce Bob.
Yeah, hey, B. You know, Bruce Bob.
Listen, I've got to say something about Malloy. Everybody knows me knows that I support Mike Malloy 200,000%. He is my man.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a better person I know than Mike Malloy. And I am not going down quiet with this. Anybody that wants to, I am going to start writing columns about this and demanding that somebody somewhere put Mike Malloy back on the air, whether it be Air America, whether it be Horn or whoever. I want Malloy back on. And everybody that's interested and wants to get behind me and support me on this, I will take the lead. I will do whatever I need to do, but I will work my tail off for Mike Malloy, and anybody wants to be in back of me with it, come on. I welcome you aboard, because Malloy did me right when Hurricane Katrina came through here. I was sitting in the dark. I was wanting to know what was up. I called. He put me on hold for almost the whole show and let me hear the news that I wanted so bad to hear, and he didn't have to do that. Malloy is just a real person, and anybody that has the stupidity to fire him off their network is crazy. That's just all there is to it, Bob.
Well, it short-sighted, crazy, dumb, ignorant, misguided, or you know, I don't know.
I wish you know, that's sugarcoat it.
but look, I mean, I'm like I said, I got enough troubles running, not troubles, but you know, this is a job. Yes. Running this network.
Yes, it is.
But by the same token, You know, I was, again, Agnes and I sit back here, and, you know, the 3 hours of radio will kind of take it out of you. You've heard Mike talk about, you know, I'm going to go, you know, what is it tonight? Is it the Shiraz tonight? Is it the Chardonnay? You know, do I get my weekly little tiny one finger at Jack Daniels? You know, doing 3 hours of radio will kind of pull some energy from you. And you need to decompress, and you need to, because, you know, if you're trying to really connect with the people you're talking to and what you're talking about, and you're being sincere and honest about it, it will take it out of you. And so, you know, we listened to the, and I was, Agnes and I were listening the one night, he said, well, you know, goodbye, New York.
Yeah.
Because he was being replaced by the Satellite Sisters.
Right.
You know, and so we went and looked it up and just kind of sat there and shook our heads and scratched our heads. We looked like something in the monkey house at the zoo, just sitting there scratching our little heads. And what in the hell are the Satellite Sisters? And then we found out, and it wasn't getting any better, you know, Sarge. So I don't know. I call into question some of these programming geniuses.
Well, of course, you know, Mike and I are good friends. And I will always support Malloy no matter what, because I have full faith in him. In fact, it's like I told Victor Lopez when I first talked to him. I said, Victor, if Mike Malloy endorses you, I do too. That's just how I feel about Malloy. And I don't know what we're going to do, but folks, I promise you, the Sarge will stand by Malloy and we'll fight. And if you guys want to get behind me, come on. We will do it, because I'm not going to rest. I want Malloy back on the air. And truthfully, I would rather see him on Horn. But I know, you know, how Horn operates, that y'all are working on a few spring budget and you guys are donating your time free. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Malloy turns up doing it. I don't know. But
well, I'd be privileged and honored if he did, you know. But like you pretty much nailed how things are going right now, and you know, it's a startup business.
Well, he had, you know, Mike was not unaware that something could happen. I mean, it was a shock to him, I'm sure.
Well, I've wondered what was. Look, I mean, I'll be honest, as a fan and a listener, Sarge, I've wondered what during the debate over Israel's slaughter of the Lebanese. You know, Mike made what I thought were very reasonable comments, and comments whose philosophy I shared, and that was to criticize both sides equally.
Right.
Because, you know, if you make war, and you know, to hell with the Hezbollah people killing little Israeli babies, to hell with the Israelis killing the little Lebanese babies, to hell with a lot of them. Anybody doesn't want to live in peace. But in listening to all of that, Sarge, I could hear, or he made it sound as though he was catching some flack.
Yeah,
I don't.
He was, and Mike knew it. Mike knew he was going to. But Mike, like he said, I have an obligation to get the other side out as well. One side of stuff just doesn't cut it. I'm not being fair to you if I don't give you both sides of the story, and that's what he was doing. And this country has gotten so sick that now we don't want to hear the other side, and that's been bothering me for some time. It's got to stop. We must rise up and stand for people like Mike Malloy. We can't let Mike down. We got to stand up for him.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Sarge. And so I get the idea you're gonna your fingers are gonna be smoking on the keyboard there over at Powers and Morrison this evening.
Yes,
right?
Sir. You bet. I am going to work my tail off for Malloy. He did it for me. I'm going to do it for him. And y'all, people, watch my site, watch my column. Tomorrow I will have something up on what I plan to do. But we're going to help Mike every way I can think of. And I've already sent an email to Greg Palace. I got my first email from him today, thanks to Malloy. And the first email I sent back to him was, what we're going to do about Malloy. So...
Well, good, Sarge. Very
okay.
Good.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, Bob.
All right,
thanks for letting me get that out. And, folks, remember, powersandmorrison.com, the old Sarge, we're going to get Malloy somewhere.
All right, sounds good. I'll go have a look as quick as the show's over. I bet you I have something up.
Okay.
All right, you take care, Sarge. My good buddy, the old Sarge from Jackson County, Mississippi. It's 11 minutes after. Okay, to the phone. And Dave in Eureka, California. Hey, Dave. Thanks for calling.
What's that?
I said thanks for calling.
Oh, well, thank you. There's some excellent callers and quite a consistency of the thought from everybody that you're getting. All admirers of Mike Malloy, myself included. I think that freedom of speech in the United States has been hurting real badly in recent years. That the ability of the media to say the truth as it is has been seriously curtailed. And Mike was one startling exception to that. I think when you heard him speak, you knew that you had been exposed to the reality of what's going on. He saw a crime family in Washington, and he spelled that out as it was. I don't know how he could have been silenced.
But it's more than just to call somebody a crime family. What was devastating, Dave, was the ability to lay out evidence after evidence after evidence and build an absolutely crushing case in favor of his position.
He did that. He did that, and he did it very clearly. And I think those of us that followed him appreciated it muchly. And I think Air America Radio is not one big dictatorship. It is a number of small stations across this country, many of which are probably having very similar reactions to what the Horn is having right now. Many are no longer proud to be a part of what they're a part of. I'm fearing that will be exactly the case. So, you know, maybe it should be. Some of them should be approached. If you are no longer happy with what you have signed on to, switch over. Come on over to the Horn or come on over to radiopower.org or something, because I think I've just lost a lot of my respect for Air America. Maybe there's some secret mystery in here that we haven't heard yet, but I don't think so. I think that they were somehow intimidated into saying, this is a voice we do not like having heard, and we suggest you get rid of him. And they caved in.
Radio management, I'm not talking necessarily about Air America's, Dave. Radio management is notoriously timid and terrified. They are the sales managers and the general managers are among the most terrified, timid, scared people I've ever known. Because if Roger from Roger's Tire Service calls up and says, you know, I heard from somebody said they're never going to buy another set of recaps from me if you don't get that Malloy off the air. And then the general manager starts screaming, Jesus, Roger will never advertise with us again. When the fact of the matter is, as I once said to a general manager and a sales manager at a station where I worked, I said, you know, why don't you grow a pair? Why don't you look at, because, you know, this was a consortium of stations. I said, why don't you grow a pair? Why don't you look at that advertiser and say, tell you what, that's fine. You don't want to advertise here, that's okay. You go advertise on the other news talk. Wait a minute, there isn't one. Well, that's okay, you can go advertise on, because it's a small market. You can go advertise on the other hot hit station. Wait a minute, there isn't one. You can go advertise on the other classic rock station. Wait a minute, there isn't one. But these guys don't have the guts to say something like that.
It might be as simple as that, I suppose, but I suspect that most of the people that sponsored the Mike Malloy program knew what they had and were not surprised to find that he told it like it was. And, you know, I'm going to guess that Air America in Portland, Air America Fresno, Air America Boston, a lot of these stations are going to be saying, this is not what we want to be a part of anymore. I suspect that's going to be happening. They may have really run their tool through the ringer this time.
Well, I don't understand the thinking because, the goons on the right, Dave, whether it's O'Reilly or Limbaugh or Hannity or any of those, Air America's going under. Air America's going under. They're going under. Oh, my God, they won't be broadcasting next Thursday. Oh, it's done. They're over. And they haven't. You know, they've been on for what was it? March 2004. They went on. So you know they're 2 years old and growing fast. But when you put out information like the fact that you've gotten rid of somebody like Mike Malloy as a function of quote unquote financial reasons, then you've just fed into the myth that it's dying and it can't succeed.
You know, listening to Guy, listening to Bruce, listening to you, I haven't heard a single caller that isn't saying, we have just lost a great announcer in Mike Malloy. I have not heard one person saying the opposite, how happy I am that he's gone.
The only people that are happy out of this, and I don't even think that they are, is the weird little right-wing lurkers that probably called Rogers Tire Service or whatever. Because like I said, they're not happy because, you know, they all listened with one hand.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Well, I suspect Air America has been hit and hit hard with this. I think they'll be hurt. I think a lot of stations will want to say, I'd like to hook into another network, thank you. I don't know.
It's hard to say. You know, I don't, God only knows what they're going to put on at 10 o'clock.
Well, he was the heart of their program, I think. He was, you know, a lot of good people there.
Or maybe, you know, maybe they don't put anything on at 10 o'clock. Maybe the Al Franken rerun starts at 10 o'clock now instead of 1.
Well, I'm reading your chat, and it sounds like Peter Werbe, who has been covering for him, is being asked not to tonight. And there's the fear that Peter Werbe might have said it like it is. He's been known to do so.
Well, yeah, Peter's not going to take any guff, and he's not going to play any games. No, I imagine Air America knows very daggum well that they'd best not have anything live from 10 to 1 tonight.
No. In fact, of all things, they're thinking of airing a live Mike Malloy rerun. You don't do that right after you fired the guy, do you?
Nah, well, you know, hey, look, they canned him. You know, how smart are they?
I don't think very smart today, but I love your program. And
well, thank you, Dave. I do appreciate it. And, you know, we didn't lose Mike. It's not like he was in a train wreck. Mike has been misplaced.
Come on over to the horn, Mike.
I'd like that a lot. I just need to be able to pay the man. But at any rate, Dave, I appreciate all of your thoughts. And I appreciate the good words you have for the horn. And I have a feeling a lot of these good words will be getting back to Mike as well.
Thank you so much.
You take care.
You too.
Bye now. Agnes, let's take a break. When we come back, let's do a little news and stuff. What do you say? That'd be all right with you? All right. If you do want to, you know, this just turned into a very weird day late in the afternoon, didn't it, Agnes? At any rate, if you do want to get involved, it's going to stay conversation radio as long, and we will converse as long as you want to. 877-443-2366. Because when you care about something, this hurts. It physically hurts. I know a lot of people feel just betrayed out there right now. Thank God there's the horn, huh? 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/pass it on. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plug-in.
Welcome to Wednesday Night Prayer Meeting with your host, Brother Bob Kincaid. Put your hands together, raise your eyes to the light, and welcome him. The truth will set you free. And now, here is Brother Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeedy. Right here, smack dab in the middle of the Cathedral of Common Sense, at the pulpit thereof. Agnes, phone Agnes? Or... yeah, Peter, calling from Tallahassee. Hey, Peter, thanks for giving us a ring.
Hey, Bob, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you know, some of the callers tonight, you know, they're all touching such wonderful points about Mike Malloy, and there's not a whole lot I can add to it in general except to give you a little bit of a personal insight onto how Mike kind of affected me. You know, Mike Malloy was the first progressive talk radio host I ever heard. I remember it clearly. It was one of those eureka moments. You know, I live here in the rural South, and you know, it was just one of those days where you just can't take it anymore. And I didn't know there was any such thing as progressive radio. You know, and you know, I'm on the computer all the time, and I was thinking to myself, well, you know, Peter, everything in the whole world is on the internet. Maybe there's such a thing as liberal talk radio or liberal radio. So I flashed up Google and I typed in liberal radio, and my God, the first listing was IE, was Bob's old gig at IE America. And I clicked on the stream, and it was like I died and went to heaven. You know, people who are reality-based like us never really forget a moment like that. I will never forget that night. I was cheering. There were tears running down my cheeks. I got to tell you, the man really just blew me away. Blew me right off the mat. And it was just shortly after that I happened to get IE America, just shortly before IE America folded. So the many months went by, before Air America opened, and then I discovered you during that time period, and Bruce and all the other wonderful folks. You know, Mike Malloy ain't going nowhere. That man's coming back, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of you. You know, a lot of hosts would be maybe a little bit threatened, you know, by all the wonderful stuff being said about another talk. But, you know, that just isn't a factor with the Head On. We all cheer each other. We don't really view Air America as a competitor. I mean, we have our favorite shows or not favorite shows, this, that, and the other. But we're all on the side of the light, you know what I mean?
Exactly, Peter. And I guess that's kind of what hurts me out of all of this is that it kind of makes me wonder if I was wrong about some of that. I thought we all had a goal. And our goal was to, I don't want to overblow this or anything, but save America?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that kind of doesn't overstate it at all.
That's kind of where I am.
I know what we're doing.
I mean, I want to empower people on our side. You know, if people want to tell, you know, God knows I've been screamed at by enough, you know, knuckle dragging, mouth breathing, you know, idiots to last a lifetime. But yeah, you want to do that? I'll debate. I'll have the discourse. That's okay too.
Well, you know, Air America really ticked off the wrong set of liberals today, buddy.
Yeah, I get the feeling, yeah.
Yeah, because we're the real deal. The ones that can handle Malloy, the ones that can handle you, the ones that cherish the moments of absolute stark truth without any of the vanilla icing, you know, they just really ticked off the wrong liberals. I think that this is a watershed moment.
Well, between you and me, and I don't want to insult anybody, but what they did was they just kicked the smartest people listening to their network right in the teeth.
Oh, didn't they though? And Bruce was mentioning just a little while ago in chat that they just closed the discussion thread for this particular subject over at AAR. I don't know.
No, really?
Yeah, I'm like, I had to.
You will not be talking about the Malloy anymore. The Malloy talk is now over.
I know nothing. It never happened.
Your Malloy talk has become tiresome to me.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting couple of weeks, and Malloy's not going anywhere. We'll hear him again. And God bless Kathy and Molly and the whole bunch of them. I hope he's listening to us tonight.
Can you see them both looking at little Molly sitting there in the playpen? Don't ever be a radio executive, honey. We'll disown you.
Yeah. And it was inspired to play the song. What was it you played there?
No, Driving and Crying, I'm Going Straight to Hell.
Yeah, yeah, that was inspired.
I love that song. Yeah. It's only out of respect for Mike that I won't ever play it on this program. That's the only time you'll ever hear it.
In full, every last living note of it. That was high class. Thank you. Thank you.
It was my pleasure, Peter.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye now. Okay, do we roll on or do we... Yes. Poor Agnes is going to have phone bruises on her ear. I think this is written in Linear A. Okay, let's go to Virginia. Hey, Virginia, thanks for calling the program.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm well. Yourself?
Oh, my God. I'm almost physically ill because I'm missing Mike.
Yeah.
What am I going to do without Mike? I can't handle it. I had to call Air America and say, what are you, crazy?
And the answer, yes, they are. Yeah. And it's,
this truth seeker is having serious withdrawals.
And it's not even 10 yet.
Oh, my gosh, no, because he was subbing for Randy, and I am so offended by Tom Hartman. I used to really admire him, and, you know, we all know about corporatism now and, you know, to making a corporation a human being. He's a, you know, he was an English-only voting ballots guy, and I'm just scratching my head and going, what? Our voting ballots? We can buy our products, toilet paper in Spanish, but we can't vote?
Ow.
But, you know, they'll sell us a car, they'll sell us, you know, McDonald's, but no, we can't have voting information in foreign languages, heaven forbid. You can't even understand it in English. What, are you kidding me? But anyway, you know, I mean, honestly, I can't. What are we going to do without Mike? Where are we going to put him? I'm glad I found you guys and that you're being so supportive. What a hell of a way to find you, Tom.
Well, you know, we're glad you did. And I'm halfway, Virginia, I got to tell you, I'm halfway ashamed of myself out of all this because it is not my intention. I do not desire to in any way profit by this. I don't want another listener out of this. You know, if I'm proud as I can be to have folks coming by and sharing their thoughts, but I think the world in all of Mike and I feel a little like a vulture.
No, not at all, because y'all need support too. It was so lovely talking with the lady who answered the phone.
That's my darling wife.
Your wife is a marvelous person. It's so wonderful to find a volunteer radio station and a union supported station. Because I really had terrible problems listening to Air America anyway because of that Clear Channel business. So, and, you know, they're overpaying Al Franken, and they're depriving us of a tremendous voice that was I don't know. You want to start a revolution, shut us up, you know, in every other way, and then that's the way to get people in the streets, maybe. Is that what they want?
They could be. Could be. I mean, we're...
Because we need an outlet, and people need an outlet. And how are we going to send you flipping through? You can't even... Paying money for satellite radio, you still can't find anyone like Mike? What are you kidding?
Oh, wee. I've got Sirius. I get to listen to Alan Combs and feel so good about being a liberal. Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's insanity. And we're just being, like, given this dribble, and that's supposed to be all there is. I have to watch V for Vendetta over and over and weep and cry and go, when are we going to stand up like that and say, please stop?
Well, you know, I think
you
some
know?
Of that Virginia...
Yeah, non-violently, but in mass, and
yeah.
Say, stop this. This is criminal. It's every one of these acts is just to cover up more and more criminality. And the criminality keeps coming closer and closer to home.
It does.
It's here. We're justifying torture. We're holding American citizens without trial. We're keeping people like Randy Rhodes, God bless her, off the planes, you know, on a no-fly list.
Can you believe that? That just blew me away.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and you're in test to, you know, to even be an announcer on Air America. I mean, that alone ought to make them quit and say, excuse me, but this is just wrong. You know, we've had our body invaded by corporations forever, and it's enough now. You know, my goodness, give them a reason to test you, not make it a condition of employment. What is wrong with people? We've let all this invasion become normal. Completely normalized it.
Well, you know, we get a chance, Virginia. We get a little bit of a chance because something I've said on this program on a number of occasions is that if we have rallies, you know, we get a million people in Washington, D.C. on a Saturday and they're all gone on Sunday, they're not going to pay any attention to that. Here at the Horn, we're really excited about the fact that, I guess a week from Friday, we'll be broadcasting live from Camp Democracy on the Mall in Washington, D.C.
All right.
And to the best of my knowledge, we're the only liberal or anybody else talk radio that's going to be there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to holler at KPFA here in Berkeley and see if they're going to cover it and C-SPAN and make some noise and listen to y'all. And I'm glad I found y'all and you're not a vulture. I was even asking, can I give you a little few cents of my disability check? And they're like, no, we can't take any money. You know, the carpenters helped us.
Exactly. We're gonna
God bless the carpenters. And, you know, here they are. The whole Jesus was the carpenter. Here we keep going, trying to find some peace and build something other than weapons. You know.
I know. Virginia, thank you so much. I hope we will hear from you again.
It's really great to find you. Get Mike up on there. All right.
All right. We'll do what we can.
All right. God bless you, sweetheart, and I'm glad I found y'all. Y'all be well and keep up the good work.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Virginia. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And let's see, Dave from Wisconsin. Hey, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Good evening. Very quickly, I, when it was up and running, was the Chicago and Milwaukee columnist for the old RadioDigest.com.
Oh, okay.
And I was there when Mike got the boot from WLS.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rather interesting. I was the only one of two columnists in any of the media that gave Mike a fair shake on what WLS had done to him. The other was, I believe, Zorn in the Tribune.
Okay.
And I find this it's the sense of deja vu again.
Well, yeah, and that's and I kind of go back a little bit that way too, Dave. I felt that sickness when he left WSB. I used, living here in West Virginia, I could get the WLS signal some nights, and I'd get to listen to Mike, and then one night he wasn't there anymore. And then there was IE America, and it's the same feeling every time because there's something very, very both intellectual and visceral about what you get listening to Mike. And, you know, it was a dirty, rotten, stinking trick in Chicago. You know, IE America, I guess, was just profoundly mismanaged.
What is it with unions and radio operations? You know, WCFL kind of went the same way
back
in the 70s.
Well, I can't address that fully. We're supported by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, and we're hoping to build more support in organized labor. But a lot of this, Dave, goes to something, you know, when we're talking to folks, I try to explain that you got to step back. You can't worry about editorial control. You got to step back and let professionals do what professionals know how to do. And, you know, I'm no Mike, but I am a professional broadcaster. I do have a background in it as well as other things. And I, you know, you may have heard Randy Rhodes talking about, you know, hiring people who have paid the dues.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to hiring the guy who's just coming off his fabulous one-man show off Broadway. There's something. If radio is going to be real, it's got to be done by real radio people.
Yeah, you know, people who know and are familiar and are comfortable with the medium.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm profoundly uncomfortable with cameras, television, things like that. But I love this little microphone hanging in front of my face, and I feel like I can visualize people, I can hear how people are, and I hope I can convey the same thing going in the other direction. And it's this for me is far more interactive media than anything coming over a television.
Mm-hmm.
Because I apparently lack the genetic makeup to be able to give a tinker's damn about what happens on Survivor Island.
You too, huh?
You know, you just hit me in the head with a shovel and then throw cold water on me when it's over, and you know, it's the same effect as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, more or less. And
but you raise such a valid point, Dave. And I'm working on ways to convey it, and I know other people are. I don't know how you tell so-called rich liberal America. And maybe that's the thing. You can't tell rich liberal America anything because they're already rich and they're already liberal and they got all the answers. But you know, traditional media right now is a dead letter. You know, how many corporations own the vast majority of radio and television stations and newspapers in this country? What is it, six, Dave?
Yeah, I was about to say half a dozen. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you're going to get your message out with these people?
Especially a message that challenges their apparent interest.
Right, and that's not the same as saying, you know, business bad. You know, that's not the message. You know, it's not
right.
Frankenstein, fire bad. It's not that. It's about accountability and responsibility. But right now they've got the bit in their teeth and they don't want to hear, you know, and all they want to hear is, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
Yeah.
And they want to hear it while the housing bubble bursts, and they want to hear it while real wages decline. That, you know, Walmart wants to hear that Walmart is wonderful while people's wages decrease to the point that they can't afford Walmart anymore. It's some of the most short-sighted thinking I've ever seen in my life, Dave.
Yeah, and pretty soon they can't afford Aldi's anymore.
Yeah, who has great yogurt, by the way. I mean. Yeah.
Although I'm reminded of Gallagher's old line, when yogurt goes bad, how can you tell?
Isn't that the truth?
Anyway, the one thing worth remembering is that back in the days when there were people like William Paley and David Sarnoff and Leonard Goldenson running the large networks, you had... especially in relation to NBC and later ABC, relatively good relations between the labor unions and the networks, partly because WCFL, the Chicago Federation of Labor radio station in Chicago, was able to get an affiliation with the Blue Network of NBC, which later became ABC. And even when ABC bought out WLS in Chicago and put most of their material on WLS, they also kept some material set aside to maintain the affiliation with WCFL.
I see.
And that was something that... the people in the old days, the network heads and the unions were able to to maintain some sort of at least a good relationship.
Well, see, all those union relationships with the networks are gone now.
Yeah.
They have,
and with individual stations.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But even at the network level, it's only the older real field veterans who still maintain a union membership because you don't get hired that way anymore. I mean, it's been union busting across the board. It's been you know, you mentioned those great names, you know, people like Paley, people who took chances on some idea of a legitimate obligation toward public service. I don't think it wasn't the FCC that made Paley the way Paley was. You know, you watch Good Night and Good Luck. You know, he's not my favorite character in the movie. But, you know, he made some tough choices and some hard calls, and a lot of them were the right calls. And in some instances, he called upon Murrow to make a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
And but in the long run, the good things were done as a result of that.
One additional thing is to remember that Sarnoff and Paley themselves started out in street-level business, with Paley being a cigar wholesaler, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the kind of business where if you're not working 16, 18 hours a day, you're not eating.
Right, and Sarnoff was working in the Marconi company. There's a story, I don't know if it's, you know, it might be apocryphal, but there is a story that has been going around that when the Titanic sent out the SOS, he was one of the people who heard it.
Oh, my heavens. Well, that's like, you know, as far as great old broadcast stories, you remember the crash of the Hindenburg?
Herbert Morrison, WLS Chicago, was on the scene. Yeah,
exactly, and he was a West Virginia boy. So
was he?
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the humanity. That's a West Virginia boy. And so, you know, I like to think a lot of stuff has roots that reach right back here into the hills and hollers of Appalachia. So I think we're trying to reinvent something here, Dave. And I hope I believe we will succeed, if for no other reason than the tremendous amount of dedicated, talented people who, of their own volition and their own goodness, have thrown their efforts into this. And this has got to be the new model of how broadcast works, because the old one is not going to get what we need out there.
Certainly not under Telecom 96. No.
No.
No way.
No. Well, Dave, so good to hear from you, and I hope we will hear from you again. Thank you very much for joining us.
Likewise. Keep it on.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye now. And onward to our good friend Mike in Woodstock, New York. Hey, Mike. Mike?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm doing good.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, that's an automatic response, but...
Yeah, true enough. Yeah, I was happy to hear there was a line of callers tonight, so I think your popularity is definitely growing.
Well, I think this is a resource. I see this as a resource right now for folks, Mike, because Air America is not going to let anybody talk about this. It's not in the nature of broadcast management to do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, Mike Malloy's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he does talk about what he wants, but I was going to relate to the experience I had on the highways. You know, I have a car that uses the fryer fat,
right?
The diesel, and I took a.
that's the little BMW, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a good memory, and I took a ride up to Cape Cod, about 300 miles from here, and so I was on the Mass Pike. Now I always had this idea that Massachusetts was a liberal state, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going down the road. I have three things you can see on my car. One says impeach Bush. The other one, it looks like a Bush-Cheney 04 sticker, but it says Bush-Cheated 04. And then the last thing I have is the logo of the company that supplied the grease car kit that I have.
Okay.
And it says this car runs on vegetable oil. And it was amazing. Like, these guys, mostly kind of middle-aged or a bit older white guys in pickup trucks with American flags would, you know, cruise past me and give me the finger. It happened about four or five times. And, you know,
I was trying to figure out, like, what is the proper response here? And, like, the initial reaction is to do the same thing back, but then it's like this feedback loop, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you take, like, kind of the more, like, Christian approach, if you will. And so I finally started just mouthing the words, I love you, and flashing the peace symbol to these guys. And, you know, it disarmed them.
Sure.
I got a smile and a wave. Or another peacetime back. Maybe for them it's the war victory symbol. But you know, it's funny. It's a little bit troubling. I did get other people that smiled and waved too, that were supportive. But I didn't see very many cars in general with any kind of anti-Bush stickers on them.
No, I think most of the pro-Bush stickers, even you know, I had a couple of months I spent back down in Alabama. By the time I was gone from there, I think I'd gotten up to having seen 10 in Alabama.
That's amazing.
They're not in great supply in anymore because I think people are a little bit concerned that somebody's going to walk up and go, "You're still proud of that?"
Yeah, I don't know though. I had a conversation with a guy in Texas who supplies the special vegetable filters I got for my car. We were just talking about Bush, and he said, "You know what?" I was telling him how I felt. I said, and I think the rest of the country is changing now. And he said, you know what? That's a typical Northeastern liberal viewpoint because you're totally wrong. He said, you're living in a bubble. So down here, they love Bush. Of course, it's Texas, right? But still, this is his world. This is how he views it. And he himself likes Bush, and he likes what Bush has done, even though he admitted that the country was in trouble.
Well, this is... You know, I've got callers who call in from Texas. I got a friend from Texas online right now. So you know, that there's a lot of people changing minds, changing hearts down there too. But you know, there's a fundamental problem with that, Mike, and that is that Bush can't run again. You know, all these people can run around and repent themselves and I disapprove. You know, 70% whatever. But, you know, that just leaves the door open for the next Quisling, whether it's McCain or Giuliani or a handful of people who I think also fall into the Quisling camp inside the Democratic arena as well.
Well, don't they have another Bush in the wings?
Well, see, it's a little complicated, Mike, but that's my personal pet conspiracy theory is that Giuliani or McCain are being set up as a patsy to get beaten by, they presume, Hillary in 08, so that, because, you know, if a Republican wins, then, you know, they don't have primaries. They have coronations in the Republican Party, so nobody could run in 12. And by 16, it's too late. It's Jeb who runs in 12 against against an incumbent Democrat president. That's the only way it works out, where you get another Bush in the White House. And these obsessive, sick, Caesarian people, this you know, what Mike called the Bush crime family, they intend to be a dynasty. You know, one of their goals is to make the world forget the Kennedys. And so if you play that scenario out, you let a Democrat be president, win in 08, and then you let Jeb come in and talk about, you know, because he's the smart Bush, you know. Oh, I'm not going to be like George. You know, that George is my idiot older brother. I'm the smart one. I'll get it right this time.
And, of course, again, the Democrats inherit a destroyed economy, wars, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And are in a position to fail the next 4 years. Although, you know, Clinton was a huge success.
Well, they thought that they had put Bill Clinton in the tank by handing him Mogadishu and a recession.
Yeah.
But, you know, say what you will about Bill Clinton, the man is in fact a certifiable genius.
He was an excellent Republican.
Moderate of the a right moderate of the finest stripe.
Yeah, I think there was some human qualities to him. Although, if you look at the growth of the industrial prison complex during his tenure, it's stunning what happened during that period.
It is.
Prison populations doubled, and I hold him responsible for that. I have one last point I want to...
Go right ahead.
Just go with... you're very tolerant of your callers.
Well, we call it conversation radio, Mike.
It's nice, and it's very relaxing, the pace that you run your show. I love it, and I can tune it in and tune it out, and it's excellent. But... there's a guy named Jonathan Tessini running for Senate
in New York State against Hillary Clinton. And there's just a total cabal against the guy. He's an amazing guy. He rode his bike across New York State. I ride bicycle also. And he's strongly against the war. And he's not a corporate shill. And Hillary Clinton is the opposite of him. She, you know.
Yeah, he's everything that Hillary isn't.
And she refused to debate him. NY1, which is the big news station in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I also live part-time down there. Refused to put him on because they said he hadn't raised enough money. And, you know, in conversations with friends of mine, they're like, why do you bother? And, you know, if Destini signs up, I'm handing out literature and doing whatever. They said, why do you bother? He's not going to win. I found out he has 15%, which I was impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? That's not the point at all.
Well, what is this, a football game?
It's like you support progressive candidates because you never know what's going to happen in the future. Maybe he gets 15 or 20% this time.
Well, you know, maybe he gets 30%, and suddenly, by virtue of his primary challenge against Hillary, she figures because she's the queen of triangulation, and she figures out that it is time to get against the war.
Right. Well, she's already begun that process, but it might speed it up and bring her a little bit further to the left. And this is the point. This is why we support progressive candidates against all odds, although with the exception of Ralph Nader, who is a spoiler, but that's another subject, and maybe he's worthy of support as well for the very same purpose. So that was my final point. I love you. I think what you're doing is good. I support the whole movement and the underground that we're getting our news from your station, from Democracy Now!, even from Air America. You know, bless you and take care.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very kindly. And the feelings go in the opposite direction.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Onward and southward, our good friend, the good doctor, Rick Goodner from Texas.
Hallelujah, brother. Bob, how you doing, sir?
Lay your hands upon the radio, brother.
I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to come down to the altar, and I'm going to join your church.
I hear
you're a Presbyterian.
I am a Presbyterian. We believe when you die, your soul goes up on the roof, and you can't get it down.
I thought that was only Republican.
How are you tonight?
I am doing fine, sir. I promised myself I wouldn't call you back for a month, but I lied.
Well, why do you want to be? What do you want to be making dumb promises like that?
I can't keep them. I shouldn't do it, but
what?
I did.
I don't want you to.
I just wanted to add a little thing about the Air America. I could not get my book on it.
Okay.
They wouldn't touch it. They wouldn't let any of their radio personality touch it.
Oh, no, of course not. Jeez.
It went against the party line, which is they're all liars and crooks and horrible people. And my idea was that, you know, maybe they're crazy. And they didn't want any forgiveness or anything or treatment. They wanted to just be evil. I even thought about when I heard that that Mike was your friend, I was thinking about calling him up to see if I could finagle it in. But I decided, nope, I wasn't going to put him through that. I did at one time find out that Al Franklin actually read my book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was in Congress. In the basement with the Democrats because they don't let the Democrats out of the basement.
Right.
And because we don't have a backbone.
Yeah, chained to the wall, sort of hanging there with the long beards and the ragged clothes. Yeah, that's us.
Yeah, and then we're talking about the right-wing media and the way that it's going. And he let slip. He says, and some of them seem demented. It's in the Congressional Record. I love this.
Yeah.
Then he backtracked. Oh, but of course, you know, that can't be it. I'm sure they're not demented. It just appears that way. Some people may think that's possible, but no, they're really just evil. So I know he read the book at least.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, I'm not selling short the fact that there's a whole bunch of them that's evil.
Mm.
You know, the fact, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Genie is never seen in a room with a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's under doctor's orders not to eat garlic.
Right.
And as Mike frequently noted, he sleeps down in the basement of the White House in a coffin with some native soil from Wyoming thrown on him. I mean, you know.
But you know, he probably has guards to make sure that they don't carry any bullets in their guns.
At least not the silver ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you saw what happened to Ann Coulter.
No.
Oh, she was on a couple of days ago. You may have seen this. I may just hit mute.
Oh, are you talking about the blow up on where she couldn't get Sean Hannity's help?
right.
Yeah, that was a gorgeous little moment in media history.
It was absolutely wonderful. I wonder what he may have been doing at the moment, because normally he jumps right in there to save people.
Two words, his hair.
Ah.
You know, I mean, frankly, the nation could be in flames, but, you know, if Sean Hannity has a hair out of place.
They certainly couldn't switch back to him.
No, we have a crisis. And, you know, I love the off-mic stuff with her. I guess we're done here. I can just leave. And then you hear the mic, the little clip-on lavalier mic rattle as she's just taking it off and walking away.
Taking off and walking away because what happened? For once, she was confronted with the truth. No one was going to accept her lies. No one would accept delusions, if you want to go that direction. And no one was going to come to her defense. And so she had to run. And that's the way it is with all Republicans. Your gentleman who called earlier, I can guarantee you there are no, absolutely none Bush stickers anymore in Texas. They don't exist. People have taken them off their cars. Actually, I think there was a car wash that, you know, you'd get a free car wash. I mean, sorry, they'd take your bumper off when you got your car wash. They'd take it off for free. Bumper sticker. So, if it was a Bush bumper sticker. So, no, there isn't any. Things have changed. They're not turning against him. They're denying that he exists.
And they are denying that, I mean, you know, well, you know, it's Germany after the war.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, they, you know, there he goes. He's making the Hitler comparisons again.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's Germany after the war. I was not a Nazi. I mean, I had to go to the rally. I had to wave the flag and everything. I was there at Nuremberg, and I gave the salute, but I was not a Nazi.
Not a Nazi. And if I was a Nazi, it wasn't my fault.
I wasn't there. I didn't do it. And even if I did, I was only following orders.
And what we hear here, is I had no idea. I didn't know he was going to do this.
Rick, you know, you're the perfect person for me to have this conversation with because that's the con. Okay.
That's the lie. That's the con. That's the crook. That's it.
Because, you know, we talked about personal responsibility. We talked about, you know, keeping them on the hook. And that's the other side of this coin is this this very, very dirty, dangerous business. You know, again, we run the risk with Bush's unpopularity. We run a profound risk in the Democratic Party of continuing to. Well, you remember how we laughed at the Republicans because, you know, and they still do it, you know. Anything bad that happens, it's all Clinton's fault.
Right.
They are still running against Bill Clinton because he whipped their butts every time they went up against him.
And the only thing that you can get any Republican to say is he got a blowjob. Excuse my language.
That's all right.
Agnes, forgive me. Please forgive me.
Well, just say five Hail Agneses and 3 hour our head on radio networks, and you'll be right.
As a good Presbyterian, I will do so.
Okay.
But. What the name of God was I about to say?
I have no idea. I apologize.
No, that's okay. And I know you do have to go.
I want to continue that train of thought because doggone it, at another time we must, Rick, because it's so important. Because we cannot allow these cons to look at America and say, well, you know, conservatism is still the answer for this nation.
And it isn't. Every single thing of this.
They've had their, you know, they've had their gaudy hour. It's over. The Reichstag is in flames. You know, it's done.
And everything that they said they were going to do, everything Rush said they wanted to do, everything Hannity said that they wanted to do, everything that O'Reilly said we had to do, they did.
Yeah, they got to.
And that's what screwed up.
And it's just getting worse. You know, and we get to clean up the mess, but it's time for our chance. If only we'll reach out and take it. If only we have the guts to do that, Rick. Rick, thank you so much.
They're going to let us do it because they have to have it cleaned up, but they will attack immediately when we do.
Darn right. Darn right. Have a great evening.
Bye, Fred. Bye.
Bye now. All right. Time for the news. When we come back, your call. More conversation or some prayer meeting stuff. It's up to you. This is the Head On Radio Network. Phone number 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Someone to hear your prayers. Someone.
This is the Quality News Network. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert refused today to lift even a partial blockade of Lebanon. In a meeting with UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, Olmert said the UN brokered ceasefire is an all-or-nothing deal and that the blockade will be lifted only when the UN peacekeeping force reaches full strength. World powers will meet in Europe next week to discuss sanctioning Iran over its nuclear program. Leaders do not expect Tehran to comply with the Security Council demand to stop the program by tomorrow. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has said sanctions will not stop its work. In the West Bank, thousands of government workers marched through Ramallah to demand overdue wages. They have not been paid since March when Hamas came to power and international financial aid was halted. Around Baghdad today, at least 60 people were killed and dozens more injured in violence, including roadside bombings. This week alone, more than 200 people have been killed around the country. Still, the top U.S. general in Iraq, George Casey, says the Iraqi government should be able to take over security in 12 to 18 months. In Pakistan, militants have decapitated two men who they believed were spying for the U.S. in Afghanistan. Pakistan is a U.S. ally and has deployed nearly 100,000 troops to track down militants. In San Francisco, police have taken a man into custody after he went on a hit-and-run spree, killing one person and injuring 13 others. Family members say he's mentally unstable and stressed by a recent arranged marriage in Afghanistan. Off the coast of Mexico, Hurricane John has brought heavy winds and rain. Forecasters expect it to come close to land, including the tip of Baja California, before it heads out to sea. In the Carolinas, residents are being warned to keep an eye on Tropical Storm Ernesto. It dumped heavy rain in southern Florida and is now classified as a tropical depression. In California, a new bill would require the state's major industries to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by about 25% by the year 2020. Those industries include utility plants and oil and gas refineries. Lawmakers are expected to pass the bill. California is the 12th largest emitter of greenhouse gases in the world. Also in California, firefighters are battling a 2,000-acre blaze east of Los Angeles and San Bernardino. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Radio Shack notified 400 employees at its headquarters that they would be laid off through an email. The job cuts are part of previously unannounced plans. However, management experts are questioning the email method instead of face-to-face meetings. A federal judge says a $50 million reward to a retired FBI agent who suffered a heart attack after taking the painkiller Vioxx is grossly excessive. The judge has ordered a new trial, which is limited to the question of damages. Amazon.com has started taking orders of Windows' new operating system, Vista. The company says the software will be shipped by January 30th. The chief executive of Google is joining the Apple Computer Board. Former Vice President Al Gore is among the high-profile people on that board. The World Bank says climate change may be one of the most biggest threats to slashing poverty in the world's poorest nations. The phenomenon has forced the bank to reassess its development projects. The Census Bureau reports that the average daily commute for American workers last year was 25.1 minutes. A gasoline analyst says that gas prices will likely fall to about $2 a gallon by Thanksgiving. USA Today reports that prices could fall by 10 cents by the end of next week. Light sweet crude settled at $70.03 today, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 13 points, NASDAQ also up 13. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, 6:30 past the hour. I think poor Agnes's fingers are going to be scorched from telephone buttons. The phone is smoking tonight. And let's go on over to our good buddy Luke in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, actually, it's one of those things you want to just scream and shout, kick something. You know how that goes. It's like saying there's nothing to do, but you wish there were. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you can sit there and, I mean, write off Air America a nice email and tell them what you think of them.
Well, yeah, and see, I'm about a half of a smart aleck. I'm tempted to, call and let them. Well, why don't you just start your own liberal network? I did.
Well, it's one of those things. I've got it written, but I just said I'm going to wait till tomorrow morning. You know, step back, count to ten. Not say anything evil. You know what I mean. Wake up in the morning, take a look at it, and see, I actually wrote that down. Ooh, you know how it is. It's one of those things. I understand people are furious, and I am too. You know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, you want to make all those little Yosemite Sam noises, don't you?
Oh.
Frazzle Black Stag and Blue Nose, not full Frazzle Lackin' Neck. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. That I say you just want to.
Yeah, where's that Acme earthquake powder when we need it?
Yeah, but you know how it's next to that fellow, you know, Wile E. Coyote, super genius. but you know what I mean. It's one of those things that I'm tempted just to wait till we hear something from Mike. You know what I mean? Other than I read the little statement on his site, and I want to at least hear Mike. What he wants to say on it first, you want to.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a little bit of, a small comment there on his website, and so, and I would imagine at this point in the process, it's as much as he can say.
And like I say, I'm assuming the way this thing, from that and what I read from Kathy over at DU, that I think they don't know exactly what's going on. I have a feeling they kind of got blindsided by this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure they're checking in, seeing what. You know, because some people have said he signed a contract. Well, if he signed a contract, that's fine. But I'm betting he didn't, if that's the case. You know what
right,
I mean?
And we're speculating, but...
That's what I mean. That's all
yeah.
we do.
Now, so, I tell you somebody else who's going to be, and I do mean pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking... Well, yep, there it is. I just checked. There was no website frequented more often by Mike Malloy or discussed more often by Mike Malloy than Bart Cobb.
Oh,
and there it is. Update. Mike Malloy fired. This is a quote. This is not Bob. No. This is uniquely and preciously Bart Kopp. Update. Mike Malloy fired by the pinheads at AAR. Who can they hire that's as good as Malloy?
Nobody. Mm-mm. Not doing what he does. You know what I mean? I mean, they've got some good people on some of their shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I mean, Mike. There's very few that do that job on sort of the not quite the overnight, but you know what I mean, on the late night.
Mm-hmm.
But you know.
But see, the thing is, you put Mike in the middle of afternoon drive, and he's still amazing.
Oh yeah.
He can do it anywhere, anytime, and I think he'll wind up. Yeah, he will.
So, he'll show up. We'll hear from him soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
At the very least, like say, between Bart Kopp or DU or his own site, we'll get the story out of him once I'm sure even he's talked to maybe to his lawyers.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And bless his heart, that's all Bart had time to put up on the page. I got a feeling there'll be smoke coming off of it tomorrow.
That'll be a fun little read. One thing I want to tell you about I saw tonight. But like I say, with all this, we're kind of getting, running over the stuff that's going on in the world a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Slap a tape in tonight, and like I say, I guess about 10 till 1, the last segment of Overman tonight was essentially he did an editorial about Rumsfeld, and it was delicious.
Well, I can only imagine it would. Well, you know, and it, if it's that good, it'll be up on Crooks and Liars.
I know, but I just want to warn anybody though that wants to get it.
Yeah.
That you know that put the tape in and set it for about 12:50 Eastern.
Right.
You know, and get like the last 10 to 15 minutes of Overman's show tonight. It's really good. He goes after Rumsfeld, about Neville Chamberlain, and a few other things. So let's put it this way. His last thing was he does a long statement. He does the short version usually, but he does the long statement reading from Merle.
Yeah.
And it's just it's spot on.
Well, Rumsfeld, is there anybody outside the Beltway in Washington, D.C., who isn't utterly convinced by this at this juncture, Luke, that Donald Rumsfeld has become completely separated from anything that were ever remotely considered to be his faculties?
Well, it's like
I'm not Santa Claus.
Well, you know, it's like the I can't remember the exact wording, but if you go over to Buzzsplash, they had the thing. You know, said you know Mr. Rumsfeld should be in a nice retirement home with some people guarding him so that he isn't able to intermingle with other people. You know. You know, he should be.
Yeah, I want. Well, yeah, I mean, it's about no. He's gotten to the place, Luke, where he would be completely acceptable as you know the roommate for John Hinckley's roommate at St. Elizabeth's. He's just nuts and criminally insane too. You know, the standard in most states for you know can you lock him up is. Does the person suffer from a mental disease, mental defect, or addiction to alcohol and or drugs? And then part two, if so, are they a danger to themselves or others? Yes. Yes. All of the above. Yes.
I was going to say, where is the all of the above line? We want to sign that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, can we have somebody put away by petition? You know?
Well, technically that's what you call it when you go to involuntarily commit somebody.
Yeah, but I mean by public petition.
Oh, I know. Luke, thank you so much.
All righty.
Have yourself a great evening.
Bye.
And let's see, we've got Spike calling from Easton, PA. Hey, Spike.
Gonzo, greetings.
Greetings to you, my friend.
Yeah, a long time no speak. It's a shame what caused me to finally decide to call in after a little bit of a hiatus from calling in the show. It had to be this whole Mike Malloy debacle.
And it is that. It is that in a boatload.
Boatload is it. Many of the most accurate words to describe what Air America is doing and what not having Mike Malloy means to them is not radio friendly words.
No. Those are the ones the little words that make Agnes reach for the big red button.
Yeah. Because in reality, they certainly are a couple of four-letter words of leadership skills, or maybe a few more letters. And I just fail to understand, what are they gaining by getting rid of Mike Malloy? You know, for the longest time in the Hartman chat room and your chat room, I always said the same thing when Air America Radio went for that great brainiac idea of going XM only.
Yeah.
And the only show I'm going to miss is Mike Malloy. I could really care less about the rest of the network. And now he's gone, well, why do I care about the network, you know? I mean, they just put their own nail in their own coffin, essentially, by this move. It's only a matter of time now before this is like the, what was that previous progressive network that was short-lived?
IE America.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before they join them in the history book.
Well, these, like I said a little bit earlier with another caller, they've only given ammunition. I mean, if, you know, okay, it was financial, then they can't afford their 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. guy. That means that they're really, really desperately hurting for money. You know, this is going to be, I don't know if they understand this. This is going to be talked about tomorrow somewhere on right-wing radio as a justification, and, you know, O'Reilly's really good at it, Hannity's really good at it, of a justification of, see, I told you so.
Yeah, and, you know, The best part of all, well, this is kind of a long chain of bad moves they've made quite recently. You know, there was a whole to-do about problems and stuff involved in another show that had Janine Garofalo on it. When she was on that show, when they had a halfway decent affiliate in the New York media area, for their time slot, they were actually number one for a little while. And, you know, what do? It's just like MSNBC with Donahue. To this day, no show has ever brought in numbers at MSNBC like Donahue.
Right.
Yet they got rid of him. you know. And
to put on Michael Savage.
Yeah, well, he came a little bit later on down the road, but on Saturdays only, and God knows that was more airtime than he deserved. But, yeah, I mean, exactly. MSNBC decided, no, we got to be more like Fox. And now where they discover Keith Olbermann, no, actually, we don't need to be more like Fox.
Well, and that's the frustrating thing here, Spike, is that, you know, I don't know what word you would use to describe how I feel about what we're doing here. And what, but I thought, and I was joking with Peter earlier when he called it, you know, I really do believe that this is important to in terms of changing the debate in America. You know, we can go through the whole history of it, but 1964, Barry Goldwater gets his rear end handed to him by LBJ on that, you know, with the whole atomic bomb thing, and, you know, in your heart, you know, he's right, but in your gut, you know, he's nuts. And at that point in time, the conservative movement said, no, that's not, that was just totally humiliating. We can either dry up and blow away, or we can fight back and get back. And it has taken them 42 years. Well, I mean, technically, okay, 2000. It took them 40 years to really get the perfect storm of total government control together. But they did it single-mindedly with a bad ideology, with bad plans for America, with hateful plans for working people, and an overt desire to, in the words of Grover Norquist, make the federal government weak enough that you can drown it in a bathtub. They did all this because they were determined to do it. And what I see, you know, what I wanted, what I honest to God wanted out of Air America, and what I am committed to with every last molecule of my body with the Head On Radio Network, Spike, is that we will begin the dialogue, and we will take the fight to those people, and we will take the fight into the so-called red states, and we will challenge people, and we will challenge their beliefs, we will challenge their assumptions, we'll challenge their bigotries, their prejudices, and their taboos.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what we need, is You know how many times people believe in something just because they heard it on the radio or TV? It would be good to at least get reputable people actually telling the truth.
That's the thing.
And you know, and just like it's, you know, when I took a survey as a Sirius subscriber and I told them, you know, there was a show on there at their progressive station. I did not, if they canceled, I would cancel my service. And I, you know, I said they should pick up shows from the Head On Radio Network. I literally put that in there. And, you know, that's the biggest thing is even when we are given an outlet, we're always still horrifically outnumbered no matter how hard people try. And on the only maybe bright side of all this is when Air America essentially commits suicide, which they're doing by a very slow and painful method, there will be more talent as far as maybe production-wise available to do more shows like this for other people and spread it out to different places since they were with a failed one. You know, obviously, no Mike Malloy now is bad, but if enough people make noise, someone's going to grab Mike Malloy. And hopefully someone's going to grab him who maybe doesn't have too many people like him, and it'll open more people's eyes to that. I mean, that's the one bright side to all, you know. If enough people make noise, and don't just make noise to Air America Radio or Air America affiliates, I mean, certainly you got to hit them and hit them hard in the progressive media and the progressive pundits out there. You know, whether it's the Progressive Magazine, The Nation, I think people in huge numbers should do a mass email and screaming at people, even like Michael Moore, saying, "What are they doing?" You know, because these are the same people that keep patting them on the back. Let these people know that you think what Air America is doing is bad. You know, just like,
well, look, if you want to get a good idea of some of the frustration that's out there, Sheldon Drobny over at Huffington Post had a post about a week or so ago called Air America Complaint Department. And if you go and find Sheldon's archives, it should be pretty close to the top. Read that. And, you know, what he's talking about is, you know, trying to get entry and trying to go around, trying to raise funds, trying to get enough money to get things going, you know, make things take off, make things go. And the responses that, and, you know, he put this out there publicly, the responses that he got from the so-called rich liberals.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, frustrating in the extreme.
Yeah. You know, and what they have left there, I question too, you know, what it represents. You know, I could probably do a weekly show where 3 hours a week I just carry on how bad the Al Franken show is. But let me just explain a few things about him first, because he has a really personal agenda about everything he does right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a guy who's looking to run for office, and he's trying to promote himself through a questionably entertaining show. And, you know, and what kills me is he throws a lot of stones from inside a glass house in what he says and does. You know, a perfect case in point is he loves to rag on Jesse Ventura. While Ventura might be a libertarian, a lot the points he rags most on Ventura, he does himself. You know, he ripped on Ventura for that interview in Playboy magazine saying organized religion is a crutch for the weak-minded, which, by the way, a lot of people to the left also hold that belief.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes and rips on him for doing that. And then, meanwhile, if you listen to his audiobook or read that last book he had about Fox News, he has, like, probably the essential of, like, 10 chapters devoted to ripping on crazy Christianity religion. You know, it's like, oh, if you're such a defender of religion, then you can't be criticizing anyone. Yeah.
Look at Al. You know, Al is...
He's a good career politician. He's like Ed Rendell. He tells everybody what they want to hear, no matter what it is he truly believes.
I sometimes wonder if maybe he's morphed into, you know, and this is not about gooning on, you know, I don't want to goon on anybody. But the fact of the matter is, one of the things that made Mike such a treasure to so many people is that he out and out, as we do here, said, you know, the war's wrong. It was wrong when it started. It's going to be wrong when it ends. It's wrong in the middle. There's nothing right about it. You know, and that's not criticizing the troops. The war is wrong. The war must end. And, frankly, that was a position that was hard to find in other programs there.
Yeah. The problem is Air America got too chummy with power. They got too chummy with certain elements of the Democratic Party you shouldn't be getting chummy with. You know, while John Kerry might have been a better candidate than George Bush, which I always love that logic, you know, well, he's a butthole, but he's not as big of a butthole as the other butthole, so vote for our butthole. You know,
Vote for our skull and bones guy.
Yeah, vote for our stooge. And what they forget to mention is, you know, they should have been an independent voice and always kind of a skeptic or a critic. You know, I wouldn't want to use the term devil's advocate, but maybe somebody who will always question people and they don't get to, you know, they start getting friendly with that element, and that's why they started switching their program to mix in with those people. Trust me, I don't want anyone who's going to just always be behind what Ed Rendell does. You know, just, you know, okay, maybe he's better than Tom Ridge. But, you know, that's the thing. You always need to, you know, people on city council here. I've even had a beer at one of them once after meetings. You know, it's nothing personal, but I'm always going to be a little bit of a skeptic of everything they do. And that's the problem, too, at Air America, is that once people start going on their show, they don't want to go after them for the wrong things they do. So I think, in a way, the network just failed in its initial mission, I guess you could say. Once they got embedded and became friendly with certain members of power, they fail to do what they do. And that's what works for you. What you do is, you know, like before you were saying, yeah, Bill Clinton is a smart guy, there's things I disagree with him about. You won't even get that over there at this point. All you get over there is, well,
Jesus' baby brother.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing people also need to keep in mind. And that was what Malloy was very good at, is he'll hold anyone's feet to the fire.
Yeah.
If they do something wrong, he'll call them out on it. And I think that's what we need to do more and more out there, is we just need to keep holding anybody's feet to the fire, or else you'll end up with more Joe Lieberman for your vice presidential candidate.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, I mean, I've been to cocktail parties and stuff, Spike. I don't see the fascination. And I don't, you know, you've seen the scene in the movie Big with Tom Hanks where he takes the first bite of caviar and he just stands there with his tongue going, dad, 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 dad.
Yeah.
You know, that's me and caviar. I don't get the cocktail party circuit. I don't want to do it. I'd rather hang out with some very good friends, you know, a decent bottle of wine, some halfway okay beer, you know, a good bottle of scotch, something like that. And a small group of friends and talk about what matters. And in many ways, that's what I've got going on. We've got going on here. I hope we get more friends.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But I don't necessarily want to be anybody's chum.
Exactly.
Because if you get too chummy with your political representatives, then one of these days you're going to self-edit, and you're not going to lambast somebody for something that they have richly earned a lambasting over.
Yeah. And then my idea of a good party might be a lot of beer and also some Chivas Regal. The double fisting of the beer and the scotch.
Oh, man, we got a party.
Oh, trust me, no one can party like me. Everyone will pass out before I'm done.
But that just means you wind up cleaning up. See, that's the downside of that. Hey, Spike, it's so good to hear from you. I hope we'll hear from you again soon, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, take care. And onward to our good friend David in Tennessee. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Bob. I was at the lake all afternoon, and I missed the show, and I hate to say this, but gee, what's new?
We're kind of all of us Malloy fans, and I know you've listened a couple of times. Yeah.
Yes.
We're sort of having a support group tonight.
Okay, well,
it's sort of like an anticipatory Jones for what's going to go down at 9 o'clock your time, 10 o'clock mine.
Well, I have almost no way to get a hold of that, so, and I revere Mike Malloy just by third party, but enough about him. Let's talk about lazy liberals for a change of pace.
Oh, no, not lazy liberals. Are there lazy liberals, David?
You bet there are, and it occurred to me when I heard someone, I think it was you, just a few minutes ago, say, you know, that fine Mr. Drobny, the guy that did a lot toward making sure Air America became America on the air for a while. He had gone amongst the what he thought was friends, and gee whiz, couldn't get a call returned. You know, they would not a lot of response is how I sort of heard that. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, that's fair. You know, that's, come on in, have a canapé. Oh, you're building a liberal network. Hey, good for you. Hey, that's a great idea. Can I be on the show?
Well, for whatever reason.
And then you can't get your calls returned.
Well, those folks are so many generations away from what it took to give them so much of what they enjoy now. They've forgotten how it got there. They didn't pay enough attention to voting. They didn't pay enough attention to school board. They didn't pay enough attention to talking to their neighbors in a meaningful way. They thought that by simply, you know, the biggest manual labor they wanted to do was write a check. And they thought that
Manuel Labor cuts their grass.
Oh, we're getting really close to it. You know, they don't want to think about the fact that if you spend time in those wonderful neighborhoods in Cleveland or Chicago or Pittsburgh, where there's these wonderful two-story houses with basements, and they're about 30 feet apart on cute little yards. And there may be a man inside there that doesn't have a knee that works real well because a goon whacked him with a club because he was on strike. Or there's a guy with a, you know, with one cheekbone doesn't match the other because a goon bashed him with a pistol butt during a union action. I don't think enough liberals want to get back to the fact that the conservatives have made enough progress and put enough clock back 100 years, that it's probably going to take that kind of activity to really win back our nation. Too many of us have thought, oh, well, you know, I wrote a check. You know, I watched the Barbara Streisand special.
Oh!
You know, tell you what.
Well, no, there's a very real world thing about this, too. And if you did what you've just done what you were so very good at, David, you've opened a door for me. Because, you know, I go and I post on blogs from time to time. You know, just something moves me and I want to share my thoughts. But then I've noticed something, or not noticed, but just sort of flashed on something and wondered. I love blogging. I mean, it's addictive, it's infectious, and to the extent that I have time to do it, I try to do a little bit of it. But I got to wondering the other day, David, if that might not be among some of us a substitute for actually doing something.
I don't think there's much doubt. I mean, you can sit at your computer, you can write something incisive, you can steal a line from a book you read 20 years ago, written by a man that does have a bad knee from getting whacked in the shins by a union busting goon. But
you haven't talked to your neighbor about politics since when? You haven't said something to the guy in the SUV with the W stickers complaining about the line being too long at the grocery and
you haven't seen what they're eating down at the Mission lately.
No. So there we have it.
But, you know, you type a couple of hosannas on a blog somewhere, and I'm not gooning on this. I mean, I'm trying to get this idea of harmony and of balance, David.
Well, the blog is part of it.
It isn't, yeah, but it's not the it.
No, it's not the whole thing. It pales in comparison to knocking on a few doors, handing out a few leaflets, for God's sake. Really do it. You got it. These days, the Republicans, the Republicans, as you so aptly call them, they've seen to it that we have to do more than vote and give somebody $25 once a year. It's going to take a lot more. They have taken away so many mechanisms.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that was inspiring to me, you know, this past weekend, David. I took the kids and went down to this Take Back America West Virginia rally in Charleston, sponsored by a number of groups and very wonderfully hosted by the West Virginia AFL-CIO. And the president of the AFL-CIO, the head man, John Sweeney, used the stage in Charleston to announce that the AFL-CIO is going to pour $40 million into get-out-the-vote efforts. You know, that's the kind of stuff that we had to hear. That's the kind of dedication that we have to make November a real change. And that means people knocking on doors. That means people picking up telephone calls. That means people, peeling self-adhesive stamps and putting them on cards. That's, you know, sitting in the mall with a table and voter registration forms. That's really doing something.
In the world that needs to be recreated, each one of those dollars is going to be in the hands of somebody doing something with it. You can't just turn over $40 million to the mechanism that is media, the mechanism that are PR companies. I live adjacent to Nashville, Tennessee. I've understood PR and what it means to business and politics and music. I've understood that since 1950. Yeah. I have firsthand interaction with that. If you just hand over money to somebody to do your work, you're making a huge, and I almost went for the big word, mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do more than think a good thought and feel we've covered it. We haven't.
Well, and see, that's part of an overall discussion, David, about what we're doing here. You know, this is a labor of love. This is a labor of dedication. This is a labor of profound effort. Because we got tired. I mentioned this at the top of the show. You probably hadn't tuned in yet. We got tired of not having anywhere to establish community, not having anywhere to establish dialogue, not having anywhere to let people who otherwise, you know, are deliberately ghettoized, deliberately isolated by the right-wing media and made to feel like, you know, somehow they're like the last unicorn.
I know enough about you that I do know, and I say this to the listeners, I do know that you, Bob Kincaid, do a lot more when you're not at the mic. And you have given up quite a bit in other areas of life to make sure that you have energy and effort applied in a way that I'm talking about. You very casually and not a frivolous way, but in a lighthearted way, you know, your wonderful phrase, "Hey partner, how's that Bush boat working out for you?" you've started those conversations, and that's inspiration for us all. You know, it's a stick, you know, poke where it can matter.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing. And we all need to respond to that. We can't just say, well, I gave $40 to the Democratic Party and I voted. No, that's not enough anymore. The Republicans have rigged it. It's not enough anymore.
Not at all. I don't know that it ever was enough, David.
Oh, I think possibly. You know, if you look back, you said something about, somebody said something about Clinton, and he was the fine Republican and all that other sort of stuff. Yes, he went too far toward the right for me, and I was concerned about him at the time, but it worked out. But at least during that time, there was still the ability to pull ideas from both sides of the aisle. The Republican commanders, the Republican top-of-the-heap type people, they don't want to win an election. They want to exterminate the other party, and soon after that, they want to exterminate the government so that all is left is very much like the first movie, Rollerball. There's
yeah.
two or three giant corporations, and that's it.
I don't skate very well, David.
No, and, you know, I'm not nearly as good-looking as James Caan.
Yeah, and the other side of that's, you know, the Charlton Heston out there, you know, the industrial food supply. Soylent Green is people. Yeah.
Hinky-poo.
No, so much rides on our ability to communicate and our ability to get the message out, our ability to get the vote out, our ability to talk amongst ourselves, empower ourselves, move ourselves forward.
To participate, we need to agitate. It can't be pretty anymore, you know?
Yeah, these are no longer cocktail party conversations.
Hell no. We need to get after it. You know, we need to act like, you know, my greatest hope, W was in town here today, and my greatest hope is some old boy that's, you know, not necessarily just zeroed in on dental hygiene and has about a 15-year-old GMC with rust bumps on it, maybe would figure out a way to meet with George Bush in an impactful way during the motorcade. Just kidding, Agent Fred, just kidding. Don't stress that impact word, Fred.
Yeah,
you know,
and stop with the zeroing in, too, would you?
Oops. Darn it. Don't say click either when you say zeroing in.
Vital charge.
Yes, exactly. Hartsville Airport. Maybe, you know, wouldn't it be great if just some 50-year-old guy whose total accomplishment in life was a paid-for trailer, a truck he could depend on, and three kids that weren't involved in the court system to sit down with George and just talk? Which one's more likely to have the honest-to-God life experience, have dealt with consequences of things he did? Who's more likely to offer the greater wisdom?
That guy.
Of course, because George Bush has led an inconsequential life. Nothing he ever did was put at his feet, draped around his neck, nor made a hat of such that he had to wear it until it wore out. There was $1 million or a Saudi prince or a mama that was married to the leader of the Western world at the time. Somebody always bailed his ass out.
Yep. You remind me in a way of something that a friend of mine from out in L.A., sent me today, an article from The Onion. God, I love The Onion. But it just, and that's the thing. Reality and The Onion are slowly just merging, David, because sometimes I read stories, no, I can't, no, that, is that The Onion? Is that reality? I don't know. This is actually from The Onion, so we know it's a spoof, but it's so close to reality, it's spooky. I'm going to share with you.
I don't see how those guys do that, because they can't top what the administration
does. Well, get this. In a nationally televised address Monday, President Bush urged all citizens, regardless of race, creed, color, or political affiliation, quote, to quiet down for just 1 minute so he could have, quote, a chance to think. Every American has an inalienable right to free speech and self-expression, Bush said. Nonetheless, I call upon the American people to hold off on it for, say, 60 seconds, just long enough for me to get this all sorted out in my head. Please.
That is so perfect, because last night on the NBC News, he said the key to his presidency was for him to lower the expectation. And that's a quote.
I know. And then he was begetting and begatting at one point, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was just, if it hadn't, you know, if that guy didn't have his hand on the red button, and if he hadn't killed 2,600 fine young men and women and maimed 60,000 others and ruined the lives of 130,000 directly ruined by killing and maiming 130,000 Iraqis and turned a whole country upside, two countries wholly upside down. And now he's got his sights on a third, and they think they're leader. Well, that's it. You know what? I'm about to get so completely far off to one side. I'm just gonna start speaking in tongues.
Okay? Yeah, I know. Reach for the nearest snake.
I may not go that far. I may reach for the snake repellent. You know what I mean?
I always keep it just in case I see a snake. I keep a snake as well.
Exactly. I haven't seen one in quite some time. It must be working.
Hand me that Canadian club. All right, David, take it easy.
Do take care. Thanks for the chance. Bye.
My pleasure. Bye now.
See ya.
And let's see. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm all right.
You know, this sort of reminds me out of the play Beckett by Jean Ennui.
I know it well.
And, of course, someone has said in a position of relatively high authority, will no one rid us of this meddlesome priest?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's going to happen if they go on to get rid of Mr. Malloy. It could backfire on them because they might even beatify him in a certain way.
Oh, I think so. And somebody winds up crawling backwards on their knees in sackcloth and ashes.
Yeah, on the anniversary of the murdering in the cathedral. But nonetheless, obviously, Malloy put a nerve with somebody. And a telephone call was made. And with the election coming on, I think it will give you an idea of what is ahead.
Well, I'm afraid I'm engaging in nothing but pure speculation, Jim. But what rather disturbs me is the idea that it was somebody on our side that said something along the lines of he's too harsh, or he's being too mean, or he's not being pro-Israel enough, or he's not, or he is. And you know, we need to be quiet, and we need to be middle of the road, and we need to appeal to moderates, and we can't have any radicals out there.
Well, you know, discretion can be the better part of valor at times. And in a political situation, you need as many votes as you possibly can. However, you know, that's just my view of the situation.
Certainly.
And, you know, I think that we have a good chance of taking at least one of the branches of Congress back, and I think we need to be very careful about how we do it. But however, Mr. Malloy, I'm sure, will find a place. I hope that he will, but, you know, let's face it, I've seen so many people come and go in my lifetime, and I said this earlier, quote Clemenceau, cemeteries are filled with indispensable people. So there's always somebody there who can step in.
Well, see, yeah, this past tense business has got to stop. That's the beauty of Mike, though. He never tells, you know, he'll tell anybody outright, I'm not going to tell you how to get it done. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to tell you what the answer is. This is a complaint line. This is a complaint forum. This is a campfire. And we're all going to cuss and discuss and carry on. And, I understand. I'm well familiar with that line from Clemenceau. But Mike doesn't hold himself out as indispensable or hyper important. He doesn't consider himself a policymaker. Doesn't want to be one. So you know, there's that.
Well, the action taken against him to remove him from Air America is indicative of exactly what the other side is prepared to do in this contest for the control of the legislative branch of the government.
Yes.
And that's what it is. And I see it for what it is, nothing more, nothing less.
I think you're right. Jim, thank you very kindly.
Good night, sir.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye now. And to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Listen, just to carry on that thought, when I first heard about this, wasn't until I turned in your program, and at first, I didn't know what people were talking about. But this sounds like, removing Malloy sounds like a decision the DLC would make.
Doesn't it, though? I've been kind of waiting for somebody to mention that.
Well, that's the first thing that came to my mind. you know, got to get him out of there. Oh, he's, and just like you were saying, he's not pro-Israel enough. He's not this enough. He's not moderate enough. He's not appeasing. And
yeah, he wants to end the war right now.
Yeah, my God, what a terrible thought.
I mean, he wants American soldiers to stop dying for nothing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
That's radical, Wayne.
Yes, it is radical. You know, these people, I'm telling you, yeah, it would not surprise me in the least that the DLC didn't have something to do with this decision.
Well, you know, a phone call gets made to a guy who makes a phone call to a guy who sends an email.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, who's the DLC anyway? It's all these, you know, well, they get their money from the same people that the other side gets their money from, except they don't get quite as much.
Yeah, well,
so
they're
be obedient.
They got their little cloven hooves in the front cloven hooves in the same trough as the other side does, and they're engaged in the same equation of trying to figure out how you get the back hooves in.
There you go.
And they just happen to be eating out of the left side of the corporate trough as opposed to the right.
You got it.
And there's a little more swill going into the right.
Well, the only thing I could say is hopefully this comes back and bites him in the ass.
Yeah. So, and, you know,
what we're doing here,
people have an investment, an emotional and not just emotional, but an intellectual investment in people like Mike, because Mike appeals to your brain and your sense of fun and your sense of outrage. And people need an outlet to talk about that.
Right. And these people know how dangerous that is.
Yeah. Especially the intellectual investment part.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, listen, I know you probably got the phones light up, so I just wanted to throw that in because I didn't hear anybody mention it.
Well, I think a lot had been thinking it, but I'm glad you gave, you know, that you put, you know, put breath behind your voice to say it, because there are elements inside our own party, Wayne, that I would not trust in an outhouse with a muzzle on.
That's exactly right, brother.
All right. You take care.
Good evening. Good show. Real good show.
Thanks, man.
All right, pal.
Later.
Bye.
And Marty. Hey, Marty, thanks for waiting. I do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, Bob. I mean, I usually miss about an hour and a half of each show because I get to listen to the first hour, and then I have to go home and wait till I get back on my computer where I can listen to the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad I could get on. Yeah, I was just surprised, really, when I turned, like, Wayne and Jim and turned on and you were going off on about, you know, what had happened to you, I guess, when you were on the broadcast wave, shall we say.
Yeah.
And I thought, wait a minute, what are you talking? I'm thinking, what are you talking about? And it was just like what had happened to Peter Wervey on the old IE America radio.
Exactly.
And I was a big fan of Peter Wervey then, too. And the funny thing is, I keep wondering, like, okay, who the hell did he tick off in order to get canned? I mean, Wervey, I mean, if you listen to Wervey on White Rose Society, I mean, he was taking on the corporate religions, and the next thing you know, at the end of the week, he's out of there. And I was just really, really upset about that.
Well, see, Marty, this makes me call into question fundamental terms like liberal. Because, you know, I think you've got to sign on to this to get your liberal card, is you have to believe that the only way you find the right answer is by engaging in the marketplace of ideas. Well, you know, the market got closed on Mike.
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, back on those days, I was not a fan of Malloy. I mean, it was through your show and through the chat room that I actually even started listening to Malloy, and therefore started listening to Air America more. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I don't know about anybody else, but I was concerned about a so-called liberal progressive radio network that took the name of the covert CIA airline. I mean, doesn't that make any? I mean, doesn't that alone?
You know, that did occur to me, Marty. And you know, the bad movie with Mel Gibson.
Yeah, and Robert Downey Jr. It's like, okay, two bad actors, one bad movie.
And, you know, and slowly I was coming to accept it. I mean Malloy, the two guys on Ring of Fire, Pat Antonio and Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know, and then this happened. I mean, Wayne called them the DLC, and I'm certain they had their hands in it. I was calling them the powers that be that probably stand above both Democrats and Republicans and say, you know, this is as much as you can say. Definitely proves that the so-called loyal opposition is a little bit too loyal and not enough opposite.
Yeah, so very well said, Marty. And it has something to do with the conversation I was having earlier about, well, you know, you like it that they'll come on the show when you call them because you don't ask them any hard questions and you don't hold their feet to the fire and you don't throw a fit when they vote the wrong way. I practically had an aneurysm the day that my senator, who is engaged in a very, very tough race right now, Robert Byrd, the day that my senator voted for Samuel Alito. And I said, I can promise you, I will not vote for him in the primary, and I did not.
Did he vote for Alito or did he vote for cloture?
He voted for cloture and he voted for Alito.
Really?
You know, yeah, we got a double bonus out of that, and I'm still mad. And so, you know, as you know, I don't know, maybe I'd be on the Christmas card list or something, Marty, if I you know, soft soaped it or soft pedaled it or mush mouthed it. But there's so much of that. There's so much of that on the airwaves. I don't have time for it. And I wouldn't like me if I did things that way.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, I can sense that integrity. I mean, that's tough. I mean, that's why I actually became a fan and started listening. So I think that's really good.
Well, I tell you what, it scares me. It just, honest to God, Marty, it scares me that apparently there's no room in somewhere that calls itself a liberal network for Mike Malloy's voice, but there's still room for Jerry Springer's.
Funny thing is, Springer almost sounds like he's on some sort of laxative on his show, or with what little I've heard of it. Like I heard this person one Sunday afternoon, and it's sounding reasonable, and then they come to a commercial, Jerry Springer, and going, Jerry Springer, they're kidding.
No, they weren't kidding. They were.
I've never
heard it put that way, but that's very good, Marty.
And I agree with the person who was talking about Al Franken. I mean, I am no fan of Al Franken. I mean, I didn't like him. I didn't like him back when he was a writer and semi not ready for primetime player on the old Saturday Night Live. It's like, okay, now he's written a couple books and he's got a radio show and running for the Senate. It's like, what the hell? What the hell gives him? Help qualifies him to run for office. Not that there really should be any sort of qualification for that. I mean, being a citizen should be just enough.
Yeah, and well, I'm always disturbed anywhere in the political process, Marty, where I see an anointing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George Bush was anointed the Republican nominee in 2000, and proceeded to do every dirty thing in the book to John McCain, who has now turned, you know, is out now turned turtle, and he's the heir apparent. I don't like anointings. I don't like it, you know, when one politician says, well, you know, here's the fellow I want to have follow me. You know, I can stand that in college football, not in politics.
Mm-hmm. Funny thing is, I'm looking at the chat room, and Richard just said, was quoting Malloy's wife saying that the decision was financial. That's what the IE America had said about hiring Werby.
Yeah.
Back then, it's like, yeah, financial. It's like, okay, yeah, somebody decided they were going to pull.
Well, look, you could, Marty, you can always say that the decision was financial, just like any coroner can blame any death that he looks at on heart failure.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and so it's always financial.
But now the discussion's poorer because of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the national debate is somewhat tainted now, or at least lessened,
because there's one less voice who will with great honesty and great passion and great demand for dignity, not just for himself and for his callers, but for humanity as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up and call BS when the stink is in his nostrils.
And actually say it. I mean, that's the one thing I've learned to like Malloy over. Well, even Tom Hartman, where Hartman is nice, he's polite, he's maybe too intellectual for his own good. Malloy just comes out and he just simply...
Well, sometimes you got to open a vein, Marty.
And say it. And, yeah, just let it out and let it go. And, you know, it's like someone doesn't like it, tough, get over it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a very interesting night, and I thank you for your comments. Yours will be the last of the evening, Marty.
Oh, dear. Didn't mean to keep someone else off the air.
No, you didn't. This works out perfectly.
Oh, okay.
And it's always good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
All right, take care.
All right, take care, too, Bob.
We'll do. Bye-bye. I got an email here before we ring off for that. You know, well, I can't ask that of Agnes, so I won't do that. But no, it's gonna, you know, what the hell? What the hell's the use of signing off? Malloy's not coming on.
We're running Malloy.
I know. We're running. I know. We are running right here on this stream. Mike Malloy's farewell broadcast from IE America, because at least with IE America, they let him say goodbye. But I've got an email here. That says, why is Air America taking off one of the best voices for democratic issues? He's poignant, intelligent, calm. Are we talking about the same mic? Some of the others we're subjected to, when we can even hear or get the station tuned in, sound like used car salesmen. The Democratic voice deserves to be heard, as the Republican Party deserves to be heard. And in this democracy, why is it that one is being catered to?